live and local, it's time for Fan Sports Sunday. If the weekend is a big desert for sports talk, think of this show as an oasis.
Yes, yes, here we go.
Come drink from our pool of hot takes as you quench your thirst with.
I thought I was going somewhere, but I'm not.
So let's just start the show. Here's Elon Musk.
All right, it is Fan Sports Sunday. I am Tito. It's a great day today. So much to talk about. Caleb here running things for us as well. Caleb, been a hot minute since I've seen you, brother. How you been?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good, Tito. Always happy to be in with you on a nice Sunday. Get things rolling.
All right. And to my right, it's this guy.
I love it.
He is the only man to play in a double overtime CFL game and then deliver a child afterwards. It is our buddy, former Ohio State great, former NFL, former CFL extraordinaire, MVP, right, of a Grey Cup. Was that you?
Yep. Yeah, it was, 7 years ago. We're just creeping up on a decade here from the last time I made a significant play.
Devere Posey on my right here. He'll be with us here today until 2 o'clock. Lots to talk about. I had to explain to my son about the CFL, because he was asking about you, and I told him, yeah, well, you know, Devere played here, was it the MVP in the Grey Cup, and he said, what's different about the CFL? And I explained some of the differences to him. The 55-yard line, 110-yard field, 20-yard deep end zones. I'm sure you loved the 20-yard end zones, right?
Absolutely. Like, all red zone rules are off,
right? Right.
You got normal route depths. You're running the same routes.
Right.
Nothing's cut short. And then, you know, the hardest part about it, though, Tito, is the field goal post is on the goal line.
Right, yeah. Like, so, used to be in the NFL.
Right.
Yeah.
So there's been passes, you know, you're just sitting there waiting and boom.
Right.
Then it's just dead.
I kind of believe, and I know that the CFL does not have the stature, the name, the glamour, whatever, the recognition of the NFL. But as a receiver, as a fast receiver,
yeah,
I got to believe you love the rules. Because you got to pass, it's a three downs, not four downs, three
yeah.
downs.
Yeah.
And you can get the running start, you know, going before the play.
For me, so I made three transitions from the NFL game to the CFL, CFL back to NFL.
Right.
And then from the NFL back to the CFL. And that second time coming back from the league, I was fine.
Right.
With staying in the CFL for the reasons you're talking about. Being a receiver.
Uh-huh.
It's great. It's three downs, second and long. We're passing the ball. And I just kind of settled on, I'm okay with catching passes, a lot of targets,
right,
versus covering punts in the league.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Like, sure.
Because coming, you know, I was fighting for third, fourth,
right,
fifth spot. You know, I'm covering kicks. I'm a gunner. And honestly, man, I don't tackle people well. Like, I mean, yeah.
That's why you play offense.
You know, well, people are like, yo, well, you won't do it for money. I mean, no.
Right.
I don't want to run anybody full speed for money.
Like, I know growing up,
catch passes for money.
They never said, what's your dream? You said, I want to play in the CFL. But nonetheless, like, I got to believe the experience, though, as a player, though. Like, just yeah. money out of it, whatever. Just the experience of playing in that kind of environment. I got to believe you enjoyed that.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, they have great fans. It was awesome. Great environment as far as, you know, just being around guys who all have, you know, some type of adversity or a story.
Sure.
And like, guys who play in CFL, like, really love football.
Play for love.
Yeah, because they really love the game. And it's so crazy you mentioned that. It was a guy, I think he got drafted in the fifth or sixth round. He left college, went to the CFL for 2 years, and he was draft eligible.
Was that the big 6'8 kid or whatever it is, the offensive lineman? Is that what it is?
No, I think it was a cornerback.
An American cornerback.
I think his name was like Quartrez Diggs or something like that. And
all right.
He got drafted, and I just thought that was pretty cool.
That is cool. Yeah. Lot to talk about today. We will get into so much with the NFL draft, obviously. NBA playoffs going on as well. NHL playoffs, Major League Baseball. Magic beat the Cavs 112-89. Oh, by the way, we'll have Kevin McGuff on at 115 today, too. The Ohio State women's basketball coach. We'll make sure we talk to him and get what's the latest on the OSU women's basketball program. Magic beat the Cavs yesterday 112-89, Celtics over the Heat 104-84, Thunder 106-85 over the Pelicans, and the Lakers stay alive over the Nuggets 119-108. What's more surprising to you, Devere, that the Lakers beat the Nuggets for the first time in, like, I don't know, 19 years, whatever it's been. It's been like the 10 or 11 game lose. Nonetheless, Lakers beat that one, or that the Magic beat the Cavs by 23 points.
Yeah, I'm more surprised Magic and Cavs. I mean, the Cavs have been one of the better teams all year. They've actually been rolling this playoffs against the Magic, but for the same reason that the Lakers won, right? It's just like, you know, facing elimination.
Right.
You're like, nah, bro. So, yeah. But, man, I had a bet going with my buddies, you know, not for money or anything, but just for pride of Ohio.
Right.
Like, you
right.
know, like, I mean, obviously, LeBron, and it's just like LeBron's never been swept in the first round, and that's absolutely crazy.
It's insane.
To think about. But, man, when you talk about the Nuggets, Tito,
yeah,
that team is so good. And they just have such a level of fight that they just, you just can tell they're the defending champions, man.
Yeah, the Nuggets, obviously, Joker, everything goes through him, and that's great. He had a triple-double last night, 33 points. Not even just triple-double, like a very impressive, like 33, 14, and 14. It wasn't that's like crazy. A 12, 10, and 10. No. It was 33, 14, and 14. The guy I love on that team didn't play well last night necessarily, but Aaron Gordon.
You like Aaron Gordon?
They picked him up from the Magic, yeah. I know, and they got in a steal. And he's kind of like their Draymond Green. Doesn't have to score a lot, mm-mm. but does a lot of things yeah. and plays hard defense.
Well, like, you may not show up in the stat sheet every night, but right. you feel his impact.
Yes.
Feel his impact.
Yeah, especially yeah. the way that, I don't know, him and Joker feed off yep. each other. I love that high-low combo. Like, yeah.
That dunker spot. But, and that's the difference in the series, I think, and where that team beats a lot of teams. Because, yeah, obviously, you got Joker and Murray.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're going to ball.
Yeah.
But it's hard to find number three option, number four option, and number five option as good as Caldwell Pope, Michael Porter Jr.
Oh, sure.
And Aaron Gordon. Those three yeah. will absolutely kill you and run you off the court if yeah. they're hitting and they're playing well.
So the Denver Nuggets, a very fun team to watch too. I love watching the Nuggets play and love watching what they're doing. But I root for LeBron. I root for the Lakers. I do. Even though I'm a Celtics fan, I like the LeBron story. And I love the fact now he hasn't been swept, like you said, ever in his career in the playoff series.
That's an unreal stat.
When you think how, like, he's played the equivalent of like an NBA season of playoffs or two NBA seasons of playoffs. And the fact he's never been swept with some of those crappy Cavs teams he had.
Yeah.
That he still has that streak going, and they very well could have folded up tent last night, did not. Today you've got Knicks and Sixers, followed by Clippers, Mavericks, Bucks, Pacers, Timberwolves, Suns. The Suns are backs against the wall. They made the moves in the offseason. Look, they got Durant. They got Bradley Beal. They've got Booker now, that big three. And Minnesota is just toying with them. It surprises me how poorly Phoenix has played the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm talking with my son. He's a huge basketball fan.
Right.
And we're breaking down, you know, the Minnesota Timberwolves. And we're like, man, they got the Twin Tower options. They got, you know, they got Cat. They got Gobert. Then you look at it's that 6'10 guy, number 10. He's a young guy, but he can play as a 7-foot wingspan. He comes off the bench. He'll light you up.
Nas Reed.
Nas Reed, that's right.
Love Nas Reed.
Kentucky guy?
Game.
Not Kentucky.
No, he's LSU.
LSU.
I was going to say SEC.
He's tough. And then, man, just the murders of Ant-Man, Anthony Edwards. Oh, my Lord.
We're seeing the ascension.
The ascension. Yeah. Absolute. Killer wants to let you know that I'm busting you. Let you know that I'm hitting you right in the mouth, and I'm gonna just keep coming. And it's my time. I just, you know, you gotta love that. You feel some Jordan S with his attitude on the court.
Interesting that we talk about some of these teams that are, you know, the Warriors were solid for years. They had that one guy who was a defender, a disruptor, in Draymond Green. We talked about the Nuggets, Gordon, and then, you know, you've got Rudy Gobert in Minnesota, and it's kind of the same thing. We've got somebody who can make plays and doesn't have to fill up the stat sheet to be an impact player.
Yeah. I was talking with someone about LeBron and J.J. Redick's podcast. Yeah. Have you got to
check it out? I have not heard it. It's great.
Mind the Game is phenomenal.
It's phenomenal.
Really?
Yeah, it's so good.
It's so good. And they talk about, you know, in the stat era, stats that aren't like stat sheet worthy, but they're still tracked.
Sure.
And like some of those stats are like, making the pass that gives the assist.
Yeah, the hockey assist or the soccer the assist. Right. Yeah.
Yes, yes. Like Gobert is really good with that.
Yeah.
And then they talk about like just screening for great, you know,
right.
shots. And it's just this Gortat screen where like you'll get a pick at the top of the key.
Right.
And then, you know, when the switch happens, the screener just goes and screens again.
Right.
The person that's on the switch.
Yeah.
Which allows you to just kind of put somebody, you know, on your back a little bit, but it creates a lane. And like Rudy Gobert is the best at that. And that's why you see Ant-Man having so many good looks and so many good shots in the lane. But his impact isn't felt on the stat sheet. But like you're saying, he does so many things well that makes him a super underrated player.
You know, for years, they did not track sacks in the NFL. Okay, so like,
which is crazy.
Which so like, you know, they only started tracking like 1982.
Were they tackles for losses?
I don't even think they were called. I don't think they had tackles. I don't think they would do that either. But so you know, you can go back and look at all the games. You have film. There's not film on every game because obviously of technology and whatnot back then. But so we don't know who really has a sacks record. I know that what Strahan and then Strahan's still the holder. I think is he still the guy?
Let me double check.
Yeah, I'm not sure the career sack holders. Maybe not.
LT, right?
I think, what was he? Was that because when Favre fell on purpose? But anyway, what I'm saying is that, like, with basketball, yeah, Strahan, career sack leader. Okay. I wish they could go back and look at and do the hockey and goalie or soccer assist thing where they would track every player and give them an assist if they led to the assist.
Yes.
And what that would do to player stats. And if I'm somebody like these guys we're talking about, like, think how much that could impact your salary if you could go in there and say,
yeah,
you know, I actually averaged 12 assists or whatever a game, even though there wasn't the official assist, it was a secondary one.
Yeah, because I guess you really don't quantify, I guess, or there's not a way to quantify, like, the impact that those guys have. Like,
yeah.
But having a stat like that, it probably would help a lot of guys out, especially, you know, free agency time.
I mean, screw up the records, I know, and I get that, but basketball records are not the same, not as, they're not as beholden as baseball records have been for years, but nonetheless, it'd be. I'm curious about that. How many guys? Because like Robert Parrish, the old Celtics would have had a bunch. Kareem would have had a bunch.
Oh yeah,
you know, with those Lakers teams, when he'd get the rebound, throw to Magic. Magic throws to Worthy. That'd be a Kareem assist also. So, that'd be interesting to track that to see if they would ever. I know they never will, but I wish they would go back and do that though to see what some of these guys did. Shaq probably would have a lot of assists too. Get a rebound, throw an outlet pass to Kobe or something. But yeah, that would be a neat stack to see. Okay, coming up next, records were broken in the NFL draft. We'll tell you all about that next. Fan Sports Sunday, Tito, the Doctor, DeVere, Caleb, 97.1 The Fan.
This promo is brought to you by Common Man and Timmy Hall's Ping Pong Game. The Fan. Garnish your Bloody Mary with sports talk. You're listening to Fan Sports Sunday.
Fan Sports Sunday, Tito, DeVere, Posey, Caleb with you. Thank you so much for tuning in with us today. We appreciate that, spending time with us on your Sunday. So much going on in the world of sports. We just had the NFL draft. Just finished up in Detroit. The most attended draft ever. 700,000, over 700,000 over 3 days in Detroit.
Yep.
Amazing. The NFL does it right. Get off my lawn. I like the older days when it was like 12 hours on Saturday and like 12 hours on Sunday, whatever, and just do it. It started like at noon on a Saturday. I used to like those days. But they knocked it out of the park. The fan interaction, bringing up former people from Detroit that you saw, Barry Sanders there. Obviously, Eminem was there. And just the way they do it now with the draft, it works. 700,000 people over 3 days. I don't know if I'd ever go to it. My son wants to go to one of the drafts like that.
Yeah.
I don't know how much fun it would be. Maybe it would be. I don't know.
You get excited for the Steelers pick?
Yeah, I love the Steelers. Steelers had a great draft.
So you great were draft. You were on, this is a pod, it's a podcast, video cast. This is on.
Yeah.
So you were excited about Roman Wilson?
Well, no, I didn't say Roman Wilson. I was so excited about that. I think I had a great draft. I struggle with that. Look, DeVere, I was struggling with it didn't happen.
I like that pick.
I was struggling with the fact that Marvin Harrison could go to the Patriots or Chargers. I hate the Patriots. I hate Jim Harbaugh. But there was a chance that Harrison could have fallen to five to the Chargers if somebody would have traded him, drafted McCarthy at four. And that part, like, I was struggling with that because I don't want to see Harbaugh. I want to see Harrison be great. but not to help Harbaugh. And so I'm glad it didn't happen that way. But it's interesting how big of a, like, that played into my mind. I had a conversation with my son about that as well, too. We talked about that quite a bit. My son just likes to go against me, which is fine. Get used to it. But So I was the draft, though, itself, I thought they did a great job. Five quarterbacks in the top 10, never happened before. Six in the top 12. And then none for a record 137 picks when Spencer Rattler went to New Orleans. A lot of talk about Spencer Rattler.
Yeah, we were talking about this. So this guy drops because GMs and people, player personnel, couldn't get over the person that they saw in his high school show. Have you ever seen those clips?
Yeah, Taylor? Yeah. He's a prick.
it was
from that, at least back then.
But it's like I went down to, I read a story. I'm sitting on the couch last night. I go down to Spencer Rattler YouTube rabbit hole, and I'm watching clips from the show, and I was like, man, it's I wouldn't want to play with this guy.
No.
And then it kind of leads me to Tito, like this arch nemesis battle with Caleb Williams.
Right.
And that he got pushed out of Oklahoma because of the mergers of Caleb Williams. And so, you know, this rabbit hole led to watching clips from his show. Like, right. Caleb said he was a prick. And then it's like, all right, well, was Lincoln Riley justified by the mergers of Caleb Williams? And then I turn on Oklahoma highlights from Caleb Williams.
Right.
And I don't like Caleb Williams. And then I'm like, well, I think his Oklahoma highlights are better than his USC highlights.
Could very well be. Yeah.
I think he was a better version of himself there, you know,
right.
And then, you know, it's like he goes first overall. He beats Spencer Rattler out. Now he goes late. I kind of want Spencer Rattler to do well, have some
you
type
do.
Of success. Yeah, it's crazy because it's like I like people learning from their mistakes.
Right.
I watch interviews of him saying, oh, you know, that I was in high school. I've grown since then.
Right.
I learned a lot from the Caleb Williams situation. He goes to South Carolina. He gets to focus a little mm-hmm. bit more. He gets an opportunity in the draft. As much as people say that's the reason why he dropped, I would love to see him grow from that and have some type of success.
If the fan uncovered a documentary video about me in high school, they would cut me off the air before this show ends today. So like a lot of guys that if you looked at them in high school, where they're at now would be a completely different story. Could
Absolutely.
Be best of life experiences and whatnot. So I'm with you. I'm kind of rooting for Rattler. Good spot in New Orleans. They don't have, I know they've got Carr there and they paid him a lot of money. But Carr is not the long-term answer quarterback there in New Orleans.
Yeah.
So there's opportunities there for him.
Mm-hmm.
The Raiders did not draft a quarterback, and they needed one. They can't. Look, I don't know. I know there's the rumor about Brady. It's not happening. Just shut up.
We're doing that again.
Yeah. Brady came out and said something effective. Like, I'm just paraphrasing. Like, you know, I'm not going to rule it out or something. But no, Brady's not going to play. But they've got to have a better quarterback in there. Maybe they'll make a trade. Maybe somebody will get cut. Maybe they'll figure out a way to do it, but they don't have, I mean, you can't go into this year with Aiden O'Connell as your starting quarterback.
I thought it was so funny. ESPN yeah. posted like one of those graphics, like, look at all the playmakers that we're going to have. I feel like we always see those like about OSU and stuff.
Right.
But it was right after they drafted Brock Bowers, but the list of guys was just not, like, there's just so many offenses in the NFL that are probably more talented. Like, it was yeah. like Aiden O'Connell. Look, like, the Raiders offense is loaded with a bunch of fire emojis, and it's
no.
like Aiden O'Connell, Brock Bowers, Devontae
yeah.
Adams,
yeah,
Jacoby Myers.
Aiden can
I
play.
Didn't even know the last player that was on the graphic. It was, I think it was like a tight end, right? Maybe Michael Mayer.
Michael Mayer from
yeah.
Notre Dame.
Yeah. First round pick yeah. last year, right? Or was he first round last year?
He was second
round. But he was, yep. he was a high yep. draft pick last year, though.
So yep. it's like, are those really the guys that this is what we're doing now? This is a loaded offense in the NFL now.
I know.
And they're playing and. A hot AFC West, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Herbert Field. Now you got Bo Nix. I don't know what they'll do there, but the Raiders can lean on their defense, right? And that leads me to my next segue, Tito. Yeah. How about that Eichenberg pick?
Woo. Oh, I like
Crosby.
It. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Max Crosby, Tommy Eichenberg. I like that. I like that. His motor gets to be paired with a guy like Max Crosby's motor. That would be a good vet for him to learn from.
Yep.
And Tommy, he just flies around.
He's
man.
A football player.
He's Shout always out. In the frame.
Yeah.
Shout out to Tommy. I mean, yeah. Pride of St. Ignatius High School. Pride of St. Ignatius High School.
That's man. Right.
You gotta look yep. out for my fellow Wildcats. So, yeah, I mean, yeah.
And he's a... Oh, you guys graduated together, huh?
I was the year after him.
Year after him. Oh, wow. That's cool, man. Yeah,
he's a good dude.
And his brother plays for the Dolphins. So he has the pedigree. He knows what this league is about. Played at Ohio State. Had some success. Excited for him.
So the Raiders don't get a quarterback. And the Cowboys, I don't know how in the hell they're not get a running back. Their depth chart right now shows like Rico Dowdle as your starter. Deuce Vaughn. Ooh. Royce Freeman. Mm-hmm. Those are your running backs for the Dallas Cowboys. Mm-hmm. After Jerry Jones said, we are all in. I don't know what he meant by that. As maybe because they're nowhere near the Eagles roster.
No.
And look, without a running game, they're going to have a hard time competing in the NFC in general. They might get a playoff berth just because they expanded playoffs, but they are not. If they don't figure out. Now, they talked to Zeke. They brought Zeke in. They're probably going to bring. They're going to sign Zeke, it looks like.
Yep.
You don't want to count on Zeke for 15 carries a game, I don't think.
You don't think so?
I think Zeke might have one more left in the tank.
Like 3.5 yards a carry last year. He was healthy.
He's playing for the Patriots.
He doesn't
too.
Fumble. 3.5 yards a carry. Do you now the Cowboys' offensive line took a little bit of a hit in the offseason, but do you like if he does 3.5 yards a carry for Dallas? Are you happy with that? I think they need something better than that.
Oh, man. Yeah, you don't take a guy. You got a guy like Mayan Williams just sitting there.
Right, yeah. There's guys they could have taken. Maybe they'll bring somebody in, obviously, in the undrafted free agents, or if they'll find somebody who gets cut later on, much like the Raiders quarterback situation. Chiefs and Eagles nailed the draft, as they always do. It's just amazing, the Chiefs. And I heard this on another radio show, but it used to be the case that whenever Jerry West of the Lakers called you, you shouldn't make a trade with him because no matter what he offers, he's going to get the best of you. Same thing with Brett Auerbach and the Celtics. I mean, you know, the back when Jerry West made the trade of Vlade Divac for Kobe Bryant for that pick. Like, just there's certain teams, certain general managers that when they call, you just hang up, get caller ID, and don't even take the call, whatever. Yeah. But the Chiefs moving up to get Xavier Worthy. Yeah. And I know there's questions about him because of his size. The dude flies. He's the perfect type of wide receiver for Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah. And absolutely. I didn't even realize that they've got Marquise Brown now too.
Yeah, like, they got Hollywood Brown, yeah.
Yep.
Ridiculous type of speed out there.
Oh man. Yeah, just getting the fastest guy in combine history, and you've seen what this offense has done with a guy like Tyreek right. Hill. But the difference between Tyreek Hill and Xavier Worthy can run routes with that speed. Yeah. And he's not a gadget guy. He's not a like handoff guy. No, he runs routes yeah. with that speed, and he beats guys vertically. But Tito, you know this Eagles draft.
Oh, getting Mitchell.
I was gonna say Howie Roseman's the guy that I feel like he just keeps fleecing teams year after year. It's crazy.
You get Mitchell, DeJean, arguably the two best corners in this draft. You know, they were top three, top four corners.
Great.
Then you get a playmaker like Will Shipley.
Yeah.
Late. And then you bring Jeremiah Trotter home.
Yeah. You know, that's a great pick. I love that. Yes.
Great pick. You know, you get two Clemson guys. And then the what put the cherry on the top, Johnny Wilson.
Yeah.
From Florida State. He's 6'6". And he can play and he can run routes. And you just put him in a room with A.J. Brown and, you know, and
Devonta Smith.
And where he can be around good vets.
Netted. And you've added Saquon Barkley to this team.
Oh, right.
You know?
What I mean? You know what I mean? Like, these, they're having an excellent offseason right now.
The draft is set up to help bad teams get better. And in this draft, I know, look, the Bears weren't a bad team. The Bears were, 7-10 last year, 8-9, whatever they were. They were close to that.
Yeah.
But the Bears were not a bad team last year.
And they got better in the draft.
But they got better. But I'm saying, like, it's set up, the way they do it is so they want teams that have crappy records to get better quicker. And the mediocrity thing, like the whole parity thing in the NFL. The Chiefs and Eagles, two of the best teams in the NFL, got a hell of a lot better.
Yeah, but I think that's why they're good teams, though, yeah. Tito. It, like, when you look at those teams, they got better because of the way they drafted.
Right.
The Chiefs drafted Mahomes. They drafted Travis Kelce. These aren't, like, free agent acquisitions. Right. They understand the draft process. And one thing I can say about the Eagles, when I went through my process at the Senior Bowl, they didn't just send some scouts down there. They had everyone there.
Really? Yeah.
Like, they were doing pre-draft meetings at the Senior Bowl, like inviting guys up to the hotel.
Right.
And, you know, up to their suite. They're doing their due diligence early.
Right.
So they're getting out in front of it. They have a lot of time to sit with this film. They have their top picks for each round. They slot guys where they think they are. And Howie Roseman does a good job, I think, due diligence wise with his picks.
Yeah, it's they do it the right way. Roseman made a lot of trades again. He's loaded up on picks in 2025 already. They might lose a pick or two because of the investigation about Saquon Barkley and tampering. But the Falcons might lose a pick or two also because of the Kirk Cousins stuff. We'll see what happens there. Coming up next, how much different will the 2025 draft look? We'll do that next. Fan Sports Sunday on the Fan.
If the sound of another man slammed against plexiglass turns you on, you've come to the right place. Proud to be your home for Jackets hockey. The Fan, Ohio Sports Destination. Live, local, and still slightly drunk.
I'm not drunk, all right? I just have a speech impediment.
This is Fan Sports Sunday.
Fan Sports Sunday, Tito, DeVere, Caleb with you. Thank you so much for spending time on your Sunday with us. I know the 2024 draft just ended, but CBS Sports has their 2025 mock draft out now.
Oh, gosh, Tito, here we go.
Ryan Wilson put it out for CBS Sports. 7 Buckeyes in the first round. He's got JTT going number 5. Who else he got here? He's got Denzel Burke, number 8. Not really a Buckeye, but Quinn Ewers number going 12th, but whatever. Ibuka going 14. Who else he got on this? Donovan Jackson going 16. Tyreek Williams going 17. Which I love him. I love his game. I think he's gonna translate really well to the NFL. Jack Sawyer going 28, and then Quinshon Judkins going 32. But when I looked at the draft, first of all, it doesn't surprise me to be 7 buck. I fully expect at least 5 and maybe as many as 7 going in the first round next year. But when I looked at the quarterbacks in that draft, and you know, this year, obviously, the 6 quarterbacks and 12 picks, and it really got turned on its ear by the Penix pick. Because once the Falcons took Penix, then the other teams need quarterbacks kind of panic. Bo Nix got drafted way too early. Look, he might be great, but I did not see him getting taken in the top 12. But look at the quarterbacks for next year. Shedeur Sanders is who this guy's got going number 1 overall. And then as far as the other quarterbacks go, he's got Carson Beck from Georgia going number 6. And he's also got, like I said, Quinn Ewers going at 12. I have a
Jalen Milroe's down there at 26 to the Cowboys.
Right. But
interesting.
Yes. Yeah, it's just, there's not the same quarterback. Next year's going to be more of a defensive draft than this year was. Obviously, I think the first, 14 picks were offensive players. I think it's going to flip back the other way next year, and you'll see a lot of defensive players going in next year's draft. There's not some quarterback that I'm like super excited about yet.
Yeah.
You know, like and obviously, a lot can play out between now and then, but we knew Caleb Williams going in. The Daniels thing was a bit of a surprise that he took off the way he did. He had a Joe Burrow-esque kind of final year there in college. But it just feels to me, DeVere, that next year you're going to see a lot more focus on the trenches and especially the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think I only get out of bed next year for a guy like Quinn Ewers. I think he's a... I think he's a talent that if I were the Cowboys, that's who I'm trading up to go and get. You know, I think a guy like that, really Texas kid, you know, just makes your organization better. And got Carson Beck, man. I mean, just for a freshman and, you know, as young as he is and the way that he plays and how efficient he is, he's a guy that I think can really play. Still undecided on Milroe. But... It does. You have to. The thing about the draft, Tito, it's the best available player.
Sure, it should be, yes.
And it's like you got the Falcons. All right, like we got Bijan.
Right.
We got Pitts. We got Drake London.
Mm-hmm.
Defense is pretty much set. Who's the best available player for us to take right now? And that's sort of where the team mindset goes. And it's like, we can figure the rest out.
Yeah, and I know that they've caught a lot of flack for what they did in that draft by taking Penix at number 8. But you and I talked about this the other day, that it's like, you know, the Packers made it work. And
well, yeah, I was thinking about a few other teams that made it work. The Kansas City Chiefs when they took Mahomes.
Yep.
The Seattle Seahawks when they took Russell Wilson, yep, and just paid Matt Flynn a big deal from the Raiders.
Sure.
Yeah, just grabbed a big deal. And when you allow a quarterback to have and I was speaking with somebody about this, it's like, okay, yes, Kirk Cousins might not be the winner.
Right.
But if you take a guy with the talent of Michael Penix Jr.,
yeah,
just pure passer, and if he can just take preparation,
uh-huh,
the Kirk Cousins preparation, the Kirk Cousins professionalism,
right,
the Kirk Cousins leadership of how he runs practice or how he conducts himself in a meeting,
mm-hmm,
and if Penix just picks up those three qualities from,
right,
Kirk Cousins,
yeah,
you'll have a good player for the next 8 to 10 years with Penix. Like that's worth it enough to pay $25-50 million for
him. Hey, look, Cousins has got, after 2 years, they can get out of it reasonably okay. They can get out of the deal if they wanted to.
Yep.
Penix is on a rookie deal. And for anybody who wants to say, oh, what was Michael Penix? Because now he's not getting a chance to start for a couple years probably and maybe sit 3 years. He may have to do it. Look, Michael Penix, because of where he got drafted, is making a lot more money than what he would have made had he been drafted down lower. Yeah. Okay? He's going to get paid just fine.
Yeah.
And no matter what, he gets paid the same if he was doing this or being the starter for the Denver Broncos. He'd get paid the same right now.
It's tough, honestly, if, you know, I just don't think you draft a quarterback when you need one. As crazy,
yeah,
as it,
you
sounds.
Do, you want to do it before that. You're,
you
right, yeah.
Do it,
because if you draft when you need one, it doesn't work out, you're, no, screwed.
You're screwed.
Yeah. See Wilson, Zach. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like what happened with the Jets there. They luckily got Rodgers, but you waste a high draft. Trey Lance, waste a high draft pick on a quarterback when you need one, and it could backfire dramatically and set your franchise back.
It absolutely can.
Hey, if Penix is a bust, we won't know for 3 years.
We won't know for 3 years. Or you'll be hearing rumblings about, man, the second teamers, you know,
right,
people are starting to see him play. It, you know, Kirk goes down. You know, you see a flash of Penix.
Yep.
And guys, from a coach's perspective, I want my backup,
yeah,
to be uncomfortable. Like, I want,
sure,
my backup working harder than my starter. Like, I want my backup to be like, man, what I got to do to get on the field? I want to play. I want to prove to you. I'm going to do. Okay, well,
right,
you got to practice. You got to have amazing practices. Anytime you get one opportunity, you can't mess up. Like, I want a guy pushing the number one guy.
Yeah, you're right. You want to have somebody who is not happy where he's at. Necessarily, yep, not in the position he's in. I'm not saying where he's at, but, you know. But, like, you know, was it? Is it Chase Daniels? Is that the one who's the career backup quarterback in the,
yep,
NFL?
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. Now, Chase Daniels, I think, is comfortable being a backup.
Absolutely.
Made a lot of money. Yeah. Good for him.
Absolutely.
Never had to go out and get hit.
He's not going to push anybody.
Right.
He'll help. He'll, yeah, help the quarterback.
That's fine. Yeah, he will. Yeah. But
quarterback and the staff.
Yes. Yep. But he's great at holding the clipboard. But I want a guy who doesn't want to hold the clipboard.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Like, and you want, I mean, I have this vision. Now, this isn't confirmed, listeners, but I have this vision of Kirk Cousins being like, you guys want to win a Super Bowl in Atlanta?
Yeah.
Like, let's get a Super Bowl to Georgia. You know, pay me this amount.
Right.
And I'll, you know, and you'll like that.
Yeah.
And they're like, all right, Kirk, you're up.
Right. And by the way, it's a long season. Kirk's old, coming off an Achilles injury. If you can get Penix in there for a game or two and tread water, not the worst thing in the world, you know, not, okay, the worst thing in the world. All right, coming up next, will Ohio State football add or lose any more talent in the transfer portal? We'll do that next, Fan Sports Sunday on The Fan.
If you consider yourself a Buckeye fan, you've come to the right place. This is your heritage sports talker and home of Ohio State athletics, The Fan, Ohio sports destination. During weekend programming,
pants are optional.
Look at my butt!
However, leather chairs may have been a bad choice. You're listening to Fan Sports Sunday.
Fan Sports Sunday, Tito DeVere and Caleb with you till 2 o'clock. Thank you so much for spending time with us today. Big day on Tuesday, DeVere, as the transfer portal closes. And I'm wondering if Ohio State's football team will add or lose anyone else in the portal. I was trying to think of what they look. I think they're always on the lookout for offensive line help. Like if there's a stud offensive lineman who's out there, I'm sure they'll probably kick the tires on that.
Tito, why? How did we get here? What do you think is the real cause and effect of Ohio State needing to get offensive linemen in the portal?
I'm not saying that they necessarily need to. I think they're doing their due diligence in case there is somebody out there who could improve the depth of the team. I'm not saying they're going to go out there and try to find a starter.
Yeah.
But I don't think you can have enough. With how mediocre the offensive line has been the last couple of years,
yeah,
I think it's fair to say that you want to get enough players in there where you hope you find the right mix. But if there's somebody out there who could make a contribution, maybe not as a starter, but as a key reserve, I think you have to at least look into that. That's like the one area I think Ohio State really has a need right now.
Yeah.
The running back depth, you know, they've got obviously two studs with Judkins and Travion Henderson before it drops off to the freshman. I should say drops off, but goes back to freshman. They don't have an experience back behind those two, which might not be a problem unless they have the injury issues they had a couple years ago at running back when you had to have guys like Dallin Hayden come in and play a bigger role than they expected.
Yeah. I come from the mindset of, is it a salary cap issue? Like, can we not afford on our NIL budget to write big enough deals
right
for offensive linemen to want to come to Ohio State? Because I know we'll cash a check for a receiver, running back, quarterback,
DB. Clearly. Right.
I just wonder if that's it. But on this note, obviously we're talking about what Ohio State needs, the additions. Mm-hmm. I want to ask you your opinion on the losses in the portal in 2024. Who has, you can give me three, the best season. Julian Fleming went to Penn State. Kyle McCord to Syracuse, Chip Traynham to Kentucky, Evan Pryor to Cincinnati. Out of those guys, or if I'm forgetting someone,
I think Fleming at Penn State has Dallin the best Hayden opportunity.
Colorado,
yep. Oh, that's right. Yeah, yep. God, no, with Dallin Hayden, Colorado. Wait, let me back up. You're right. The Hayden one's the one that came most recently.
Yeah,
Hayden to Colorado, I love.
Okay.
I thought all along if he got number one backs carries, then he could be a real stud.
Okay.
He reminds me a lot of, it was the same when Ohio State used to have like a running back named Joe Montgomery, who was a great filling guy. Whenever he got the opportunity, though, to get 20 carries or 25 carries a game, he was great. Dallin Hayden's going to be really good for Colorado. Then probably I would go with Fleming after that. I'm not sold on McCord at Syracuse. He's going to get a lot of opportunities to throw because they're going to be behind a lot because they suck. But, so he might have big numbers, but not big success.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I'm going to go with my number one is Dallin Hayden. My number two is Kyle McCord. I think he's going to have a good year. And then three is either Chip or Evan. I don't think Fleming is going to do well at Penn State.
You don't think so?
Yeah. No, and it's not that I like him as a kid. I just think as a player, there were a lot of opportunities for him to make big plays over the last 3 years. A lot of opportunities for one, like the Georgia game.
Yeah.
He could have had a great game, you know. And I just felt like there were a lot of times where he was unhealthy and he played through it. But I just think that's, you know, his ceiling. This is sort of what we saw.
Is he QB dependent? Like Marvin Harrison, we saw from the numbers, going from Stroud to McCord, he didn't have a drop-off. Like, Marvin Harrison's not QB-dependent on success. Is Julian Fleming QB-dependent, you think?
I think there's just, like, he just needs to make more plays on 50-50 balls. Like, I just don't think he makes enough plays on balls down the field, you know, when he got that opportunity.
I don't know how much Drew Aller is going to help his case, too, at Penn State. But yeah.
Drew Aller can have a good year. I like Drew Aller. I just think last year he was young. He wasn't processing things as fast. And I think, you know, with the year, Drellick could be scary. I mean, he's standing like 6'4", 6'5".
I mean, I'll always like, I don't want to say root for him, but, you know, you got to hope for some success from an Ohio guy.
Sure,
but,
absolutely. He's from Cincy.
I don't know. I didn't see it, though. I didn't see it.
Do you think the quarterback room has any changes after two? Do you think on Tuesday there's any change to the Ohio State quarterback room?
No, only because I feel like Devin Brown is still, the fact that he's stayed around for this long, you know?
You think Nolan sticks around? You think Keenhole sticks around?
It was the guy. I feel like I don't have a read on them.
Yeah, those two.
Yeah, because Lincoln, it's like, you have the limited time that we gave him in the Cotton Bowl last year. But there's also, you have to, he's just in a weird middle spot right now where it's like, what really is going to be his future / role here? And yeah, for Aaron Nolan too, it's like he's a 5-star guy coming in, like, and then Julian Sand pretty much took all that hype away. No disrespect to Abby, that's just how it is. I mean, he was been the talk all spring. I don't know.
Day talked up Sand so much before the spring game, and Day also admitted that Keenholz was not ready for the Cotton Bowl, and he put it on himself, like on the team. Like, we didn't have him ready. He wasn't ready to play in that game, and that's why the struggles he had. But you're right, Keenholz in a weird situation because you figure next year. It's going to be, if everyone sticks around, next year it's going to be Devin Brown or Julian Sand taking snaps as a starter for Ohio State. I think one of those two guys are. And I think Keenholz should know that. And so that might lead Keenholz to go somewhere else.
Yeah.
And I don't know about Nolan. I'm not sure. But
yeah, but you can check out the portal next year. You know, you don't want to know what happens.
If you want to wait another year, though, yeah. But I just don't know if they want to, I don't know if Keenholz wants to wait another year on this and then still be in the same situation next year.
Yeah.
All right, coming up next week, call up anything that's happened so far and what will happen this weekend. We'll do that Fan Sports Sunday on The Fan.
The Big Nine was a sad, incomplete place. Enter Ohio State. The rest is history. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
The Fan. Sports talk, weekend style. You're listening to Fan Sports Sunday.
All right, Fan Sports Sunday, Tito DeVere, Caleb with you. You heard Caleb's update there about the NBA and the NHL playoffs going on. Magic outscored the Cavs yesterday, 37-10 in the third quarter, and then 24-19 in the fourth. I'm no math expert, but that sounds like they outscored the Cavs by 32 points in the second half to win by 23. I'm wondering about this. There's all these rumblings, DeVere, about Donovan Mitchell wanting maybe to go to New York or somewhere else.
Yeah.
Playing a bigger market. Do you think that the decision is already made? Like, no matter what happens the rest of this series or the rest of the postseason, Donovan Mitchell's gone? Or do you think Donovan Mitchell's staying no matter what? Or do you think it depends on how this series ends?
I don't know, man. I really like, you know, running his team through Darius Garland and,
right.
And I understand he's a great addition, but I think that's a big reason why Donovan Mitchell is unhappy. You know, I mean, a lot of Utah went through him, but this Cavs team is a good team, Tito, and they have things set up to where you can win games without Mitchell.
Right.
You can win games without Mitchell, and they've done that. So him being unhappy wouldn't surprise me if he departed.
The last two games, they've been outscored 233-172. In those games, Donovan Mitchell has a total of 8 turnovers and has not looked good in either of the last two games. So I'm wondering, like, if I feel like he's gone no matter what. Mm-hmm. And I think he wants to be gone, but you can make the argument, though, if they can't get past Orlando, and a big reason they can't get past Orlando is because he is struggling, then I think you can justify it with Cavs fans. You know what I mean? Like, you can make it, depending on what kind of package you get in a trade for him or however you do it, but I love Donovan Mitchell. I do. I don't know if this Cavs team is the right mix of players to make a deep run in the playoffs.
Yeah, nah. I mean, the East is tough. The East is tough. I mean, you got Milwaukee, you know, and they're not even fully healthy yet.
Right.
I think they get out of that series. You got Boston, New York. It's just, it's tough over there.
Yep.
It's I hate the state of where the Cavs are at right now. Because it's like, I mean, yeah, but the next decision is going to have to be Don, you know? I mean, we got to figure that out. But they're not good enough to beat the upper echelon. Like, going in, like we talked about earlier, like, I knew with Boston around the corner, it's like, we're not good enough to really compete in that series. At the same time, they aren't bad enough to do anything in the draft or really, like, I don't know.
It's an awful spot to be in. It's in the middle.
It reminds me of, like, the Atlanta Hawks when they had, it was, like, Al Horford, like, Jeff Teague, Kyle Quinn. Like, I don't know. That team reminds me of just mid-level exception, and that's how I feel about the Cavs right now.
The worst thing to do is be a perennial first-round loser or be the best team that doesn't make the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know, be at the bottom of the lottery kind of thing. Like, and that if you get screwed, that's not a good place to be in.
It
hurts the fan base too, because like it's very frustrating. You're right. The Cavs aren't going to if they even beat Orlando.
Right.
That's their season ends after that.
Yeah. I mean, I think they'll handle business at home. Like, I don't know. But going back to Orlando, I mean, they looked terrible in games 3 and 4. It was it was ugly basketball. It was hard to watch. But
Celtics beat the Heat 104-84. They lead that series 2-1. Thunder have a 3-0 lead on the Pelicans after winning 106-85. Lakers stay alive against the Nuggets with a 119-108 win. They're now down 3-1 to Denver. Today you've got Knicks Sixers. Knicks lead that series 2-1. Clippers Mavericks. Mavericks up 2-1 that one. The Pacers host the Bucks, and the Pacers lead that one 2-1. And Timberwolves and Suns. Timberwolves are trying to go for a sweep of Phoenix in Phoenix tonight. Switching over to the NHL playoffs, and which we rarely talk about on these here airways because of our Jackets are rarely in the playoffs. But nonetheless, today you've got the Jets and Avalanche. Colorado leads that series 2-1. Canucks and Predators. Vancouver's up 2-1 in that one. The Rangers look to sweep the Capitals in Washington. They lead that one 3-0. And the Oilers take on the LA Kings. That series is 2-1 in favor of Edmonton there. Playoff hockey is really the best. I mean, you talked to us on your show on the money about you love the NBA playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
NHL playoffs also pretty solid too. I love the fact that there's no shootouts. That when it goes to overtime, it goes on and on.
See, I'm still getting hip to the NHL world, I guess. Like me and my roommates actually, we just bought the game NHL 24.
Right.
So obviously playoffs are going on right now, so it's always on. But yeah, that is crazy because shootouts are kind of electric, though.
I like shootouts.
Yeah.
I like the same thing in soccer, too.
Yeah, like the penalty kicks thing. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. I mean, they're just, like right now, you know, next shot wins the game. That's sweet.
What Caleb just said, though, brought me back. Is there anything better than having roommates and getting a sports video game and just sit there and playing the hell out of it.
We have been like restlessly grinding through the past week. I'm still kind of deciding on my team. Like at first I was the Rangers. I was getting a couple dubs there.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know. I'm trying to get better with the Avalanche because I like McKinnon. Like there's only so many guys also that I know as I'm trying to get him to the league. Yeah, yeah.
Try to leave South.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Austin
yeah.
Matthews out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Trying to leave South. You're on the EA Sports games, right?
Who do I play games?
Were you on? You're on the games, right?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Were you pissed about your ratings?
No, I wasn't. Nah, I was never.
Did you play as yourself?
I was gonna say, did you like go all 99s? Like,
man, guys, I'll be honest. Like, I'm not a video game guy for one reason. I'm too competitive.
Fair.
Yeah, I just
so fair.
I'll fight you.
It's like, gonna get a little too serious.
Yeah, like. It's like you can't beat me. I'm like, you suck. I'm like, yo, you're really saying that to me,
right?
No, I'm talking about on a game. No, but you say that
it to me. Yeah, it's me.
Let's move the table. Right. Move the table.
Well, the new NCAA game is coming out. The new college football one, and I don't know if you'll be an do they reach out to you? Are you an option as like a former Buckeye player, the former old teams? Like, do they reach out to you on something like that or not?
Oh no, I don't know. I don't know anything about how it's going, but I have been seeing the posters around campus on lane under 315 on the highway. They got them posted up. I was like, oh, little old school guerrilla marketing,
right?
You know, posting posters all over campus.
It's back.
That's sweet. Back. Yeah, but you know, the guys had to opt in, Tito, right?
Right,
they
had
to say they wanted to
and
be
they get
a part
paid
of
a certain amount and everything.
You get paid a certain amount, but absolutely, you want to be on the game if you're in college.
Like, absolutely. Yeah, no doubt you do. Yeah, you no do. Doubt you do. Yeah. Yeah. But I think, though, that when they talked about you, how to get, if I'm a, let's say I am a player of a certain stature. Say I'm an Archie Griffin, if they're going to put old school teams on there, old teams on there. If I'm Caleb Williams, if I'm somebody who has reached a certain level of fame or is so popular, I would not allow myself to be on the game for the same thing that the third string offensive line for Bowling Green gets. Okay. I would tell EA Sports that if you want to have me on the game,
yeah,
you've got to make me a downloadable player, like a special downloadable thing.
You want that Michael Jordan?
That you've got to pay like,
live.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Wasn't on the game.
Like, okay, you could buy the game if you want. Caleb Williams, unless you go on this website, or unless you download him for $5 or whatever it is, you know what I mean? And get me more money that way.
Yeah.
Because everyone's going to download Caleb Williams if they're playing the game, or everyone's going to download, Marvin Harrison Jr., whatever, any player, any current player or former player. If you're at that level, I would say, if you want me on the game, then I have to be a special downloadable guy.
You know who should really do that? Especially because he didn't opt in, Arch Manning right now.
Yeah, right. Totally.
Plenty of people who I'm sure would
jump on that.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah. They would definitely download his character. But
really download a second string quarterback in Texas?
He's a Manning, though.
He's a Manning. That's right. Yes.
He's a two right now.
He's a two. That's right. He had a great spring game, though.
Oh, he's a spring game
all-star.
Spring game hero.
Yes.
Here we go.
Crew Montreal tied 0-0 yesterday. The Crew have a 6-game winless streak in the MLS right now. They did defeat Monterey 2-1 on Wednesday in the CONCACAF Champions Cups. They are playing the second leg of that here coming up soon. Reds beat Texas yesterday 8-4. They played today at Arlington at 2:35. Guardians over the Braves 4-2. They're in Atlanta today at 1:35. That gets you up to anything going on right now. Coming up next, the NFL wants to keep adding to the regular season, but are they doing it safer? We'll talk about that next. Fan Sports Sunday on The Fan.
The only radio station still operating with an active booze cart.
I'm drunk right now.
No, I'm not.
Yes, I am.
The Fan. Ohio sports destination.
Instead of annoying national people talking to you this weekend, we've opted for annoying local people. This is Fan Sports Sunday.
Fan Sports Sunday. Tito, DeVere, Caleb with you till 2 o'clock. Well into our second hour of the program here. So Roger Goodell, and I said it for years, I've been saying on the airways for 10 years, DeVere, that the NFL needs to either play the Super Bowl on a Saturday or play it out the following week on a Sunday and then have President's Day the next day, so it's a holiday for everybody. I think it's stupid to have the Super Bowl go until whatever, midnight or, well, so the Super Bowl used to start at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon way back when, and it didn't matter if it was on Sunday because it would be over and there wasn't this elaborate halftime show a lot of the times. And so it would be over at a reasonable hour, but now it goes on way too late for people that have to work the next day in some cases or go to school the next day. Roger Goodell has talked about increasing the number of games from 17 to 18, cutting back to 2 preseason games.
I love that.
And then the Super Bowl is a week later. Leading into President's Day, which is a holiday for everybody, or most people. Mm-hmm. I love that idea. I think it makes perfect sense.
Yeah. As soon as I said I love 2 preseason games, I was thinking from a starter's perspective.
Right.
Absolutely, right, you know. But then sometimes, you know, for the guys who are making the team, you know you're on the team, you might need to get, 8 quarters? You probably need 2 to 3 quarters.
Right.
But I do love the last preseason game when a guy like this, Victor Cruz,
mm-hmm.
he plays the whole game. You really get to see a whole portion size of what he can do. He makes the team off of the preseason. Now, there are guys we were just talking about, Steel Chambers getting signed, Mayan Williams unsigned, mm-hmm. Josh Proctor got signed to Jacksonville. And you're looking at guys like that who you get in a training camp. You're in a practice setting, but you need a game to show, like, hey, I can play in a game. So that's the one thing with Goodell's new schedule that I'm just like, I'm on the fence about. I like that guys at the bottom half of the roster,
right,
getting opportunities.
Okay, when they preseason. Have the joint practices.
Yeah, those are intense.
Okay, now are those similar to preseason games?
Yeah, but at the same time, like, no, like, because you're just, like every, so, you know, you do 21, 24 periods in
right.
practice. It's just our offense is going against their defense.
Right.
1, 2, 3. Their defense going against our offense. 1, 2, 3. Special teams go against their special teams, 1, 2, 3. So you're just practicing together.
I didn't know if we would see an uptick in that. Say they do this, if they would do an uptick in those kinds of things,
yeah,
to where you would get more looks, the players like you're talking about that need the reps, that need the live game. I know it's not live game, but is it close?
No, it's practice.
Really?
It's practice. Now, it's an intense practice. It's a very competitive practice.
Right.
You're going to practice harder against another team than you would, you know, your guys. But it's not like it's tackle, you know.
Right.
Like a scrimmage. You know, Little League, you would show up, somebody would come to your practice field, and you guys would be tackle. No, it's not like that.
Not like that at all.
Uh-uh.
See, the biggest problem I have preseason is that the way that they charge the same price for tickets. If you're a fan going to those games, like that's the part that's dumb to me.
Yeah, yeah.
About
it
those
should
things.
Be free. Yeah,
it no. should be free, or it should be like $5. Get people to just fill up the stadium. Let kids come in and see you. Don't get to go see a game normally because the tickets are so outrageous. So, yeah, we're leaning towards that. It would not surprise me if someday there were 19 regular season games and one preseason. None of that would surprise me anymore. They want to play. They want to own. They can do whatever the hell they want to do because people are still going to watch. One of the things they did announce though this week was that they're allowing those guardian caps during the regular season.
Yeah.
Which, so they've said they had a couple years of research, and it shows it does help, and it's going to look funky if guys wear them, but I'm okay with it.
I mean, hey, listen, man. I got to this point in my career where, like, my health meant more to me. So that, you know what I started doing? Every day I showed up in Brooks running shoes with any outfit I was wearing.
Right.
And guys were like, why you got on those Brooks running shoes? Yeah. Like, bro, because my feet hurt before and after practice.
Right.
I had to go put on these heels, man. And you guys call them cleats, but they're like, you know, I feel like a woman leaving the club in heels after practice.
Right.
Like, I'm taking these off and walk to the locker room. So I got to that point in my career, Tito, where it was like my health meant more to me than the look of it.
Right.
And I think that's how I feel about these guardian caps. Like, listen, man, hey, whatever keeps the guys healthy.
Right.
If we can limit the, what does it say? Like the, I guess the seriousness of the head collision.
Sure.
Or, you know, the most important thing, the one thing that's undefeated in terms of head injuries is the ground is undefeated.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you think about Tua 2 years ago and just banging his head back.
Right.
Imagine if he had like a guardian cap for those ones when you can't really tuck that chin and you got all that force driving you back, or wide receiver downfield and the DB's playing through the ball and you got to fall and hit your head, or a tight end. It's just those caps, if they can prevent some of those small injuries or, you know, at least bring them down some.
Yeah.
I'm all for it.
You know, and that's the way I am too. Like if it's something to help, what I don't want to see is flag football or touch football. I don't want to see it. If this is something that allows us to keep tackle football going, if it helps in that regard, I'm fine. Then I'm all in favor of it. You know, if it's something like that, because it's not going to change the way the game is played. You know what I mean? You're wearing the guardian helmet, it just gives you extra protection on that, and I am totally fine with that.
Now, the hip drop tackle, will affect the way the game is played a little bit more.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think so, too.
It's like sometimes you're just a defensive guy. You're a DB. You got a guy like Travis Kelce wrapped up.
Yeah.
And you're on his way. It's like you've done the technique gator roll. Your head is down. It's off to the side. You didn't hit him with your head.
Mm-hmm.
And all you really have is your body weight to get him to the ground. Now, it's tough because I've been rolled up before. I've had a guy fall on the back of my legs. I've seen guys get injured on those type of, you know, tackles. But how do you, would you just let go? Like from a defensive player,
right,
it's just, it's very hard. I think that's going to change the game. It's going to be a lot more broken tackles this year.
I don't want to see a bunch of penalties called on that. You know what I mean? Like I understand that they're trying to make that part safer, but it's another one of those rules, DeVere, in football where you can only control so much. Like you can, if you're a defensive player, if I go to hit a guy and he lowers his head, it could look like a helmet to helmet hit that I didn't try to do.
Yeah.
And I get flagged for that. You know what I mean? Something like the hip drop thing where it's just, if you're trying to make the tackle, but something happens in the play, you can't control the other guy's body and you're trying to control your body, and a fluke thing could happen, and it could cost your team 15 yards and get the team first down. Like, those kind of things are what bother me about football penalties. And, you know, I've seen plenty of times where, you know, like, we can get a quarterback now. Like, you can't hit him in the legs.
Can't hit him
in the head. Mm-hmm. You've got, like, a five-inch area you're allowed to, like, hit him in and without it being called a penalty. And that's the thing that concerns you about the hip drop thing is that we're going to see more of that, and there'll be too many penalties. I don't want to slow the game up anymore. I want it to be safer. Yes. I want the stars on the field. Yes. I want people to be able to walk when they're done playing football and not have these major head injuries. Yes. But I also, though, don't want to have a 4.5-hour NFL game.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, I think, you know, those this is going to have a big enough effect on the game, like horse collaring mm-hmm. and head-to-head collisions. Like, like these hip drop tackles will change courses of the game. You know, like, you know, it's just, it's going to be one of those things to where it could potentially, you know, 3, 4, 5 times control an outcome.
I don't know how you coach defense anymore. Like defensive players. Like, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know how you coach somebody. You know, when you say,
you
look,
just run through their leg, just run full speed through their leg, just a chop tackle. Just and it's from an offensive guy is like, hey guys, you got to get your feet out of the ground.
Yeah.
Because if your feet are in the ground and a guy is, you know, barreling at your knee, the only way to kind of take some of the impact off, like we just said, the ground is undefeated. You got to get your feet in the air, mm-hmm. kind of absorb that contact. But Tito, I mean, if I'm playing DB or linebacker, I don't know what to do right now.
It's so different when you look at some of the older tapes and like the way guys just would headhunt. You know,
Brian, what would Brian Dawkins do right now?
Oh, God, Brian Dawkins, he'd be kicked out of the league. He couldn't play. He can't play under these rules. You know what I mean? There's no way he could. I don't think Ronnie Lott could play under these rules.
Ray Lewis, no.
No, there's no way. Like, so that it's a much different game. I'm all for safety, so I'm okay with the helmets. I don't know what it's going to look like, though, when we get into the season. And hopefully there's not a lot of flags thrown on this. If they do throw in the two preseason games and then let off of it when we get into the regular season. But it's going to be... For that reason right there, and the kickoff rule makes preseason football much more interesting to me this offseason. Like this season, when it comes in, like, I want to see how the kickoff rule works. I want to see how many hip drop tackles get called, things like that. I want to see how many guys are wearing these helmets as well. But coming up next, we know what we saw when he played, and this week he got what was already his. I'll explain all of that next. This is Fan Sports Sunday on The Fan.
The Fan is live and local with Morning Juice. Caffeinate and dominate.
Weekday mornings from 6 to 9.
The Fan, Ohio sports destiny.
Just because it's the weekend doesn't mean we shut up. This is Fan Sports Sunday.
Fan Sports Sunday, Tito DeVere and Caleb with you. Thank you so much for tuning in. Reggie Bush got his Heisman back, DeVere, and he's still suing the NCAA. But the fact he has Heisman back, kind of a cool moment. They surprised, I guess, him with it, or surprised the Heisman people that are around there with him with that. But well deserved. It's one of those things where we know he was the best player in college football that year. He was amazing. Speaking of video game numbers, a video game kind of player, that was Reggie Bush, game changer and all that, and had a fantastic career at USC. So he got a Heisman back. And now I start wondering about, you know, look, Reggie Bush, yes, rules, I'm doing air quotes there, were broken when he was at USC and got the Heisman. It did not affect his play on the field. It did not alter the outcome of any games on the field. Was it a foolish mistake? Was it a foolish decision? Yes, looking back. But I'm glad he finally got the Heisman back.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was great for him. And we were talking about this week. It's like, you know, the Heisman Trophy committee, a postseason award, decided to say, hey, we're gonna honor this in light of, you know, the current landscaping just changing, you know, and the fact that, you know, we're celebrating someone like Caleb Williams, who, you know, this is how much money he made,
$10 million or whatever it was. I don't know, ridiculous number.
Yeah, and then you look at Reggie, and all he did was, you know, it was probably a fraction of what Caleb Williams made. Let's give him his trophy back. Let's welcome him back into the community. Reggie's been really adamant, really pushing for this to happen. So I'm happy for Reggie Bush.
A lot of the arguments against why we should go back and do something like this are because, like, they say, well, you know, if I was going 70 miles an hour in a 65-mile-an-hour zone and got a ticket, but now it's 70 miles an hour on that same freeway, I should get that. Look, laws are different. Laws are different than rules.
Yeah.
Okay. Rules, you can do things and say, you know what? looking back, this was kind of stupid. And so we're going to go ahead and reward. We're going to give it back to him and whatever. You think about the Fab Five now and the fact that their banners were taken down, wins vacated and all this kind of stuff with the Fab Five. We know what we saw when the Fab Five was playing. We know the impact they had. We also know they were handcuffed by what they could earn. And you hear the story on the 30 for 30 that Jalen Rose produced, where he talks about, you know, he goes to a store and he sees his jersey on sale, his jersey being sold there for like $80 or whatever. He doesn't get a penny of that. Or, you know, the black socks that they wore that everyone, Nike, then all of a sudden started marketing that. Like they, all the things that the Fab Five did that made money for other people. And they got ripped because Weber took money from a friend of the program kind of thing. And I wonder if they will go back and do that. And now on a personal level for you.
Yeah.
So you hear this news.
Mm-hmm.
Does that do any, like, I'm curious what you felt when you heard that Reggie Bush got that back. And as a second part of that, what would you like to have happen to, I don't want to say right the wrong, but to make things, to fix things? Like, what is there something that the NCAA could do or say or anything they could do that would make you feel better?
Oh, I mean, for me, you know, I think it, when you ask what would I like to have happen, I would love for us to be able to have a chance to say the real story, right?
Okay.
That for all means, it wasn't, you know, exchange of rings for tattoos. We were already getting free tattoos, bro.
Right.
Like it was just like we walked in and you got a tattoo. Now, the guy who owned the shop was interested in purchasing things from Ohio State, and he was giving out some good cash for it, right? And so that's where that exchange happened. And through all of the appeals, that's when all the news came out of Trestle. And but to go through an NCAA appeal, and these are for my people who say the 60, now it's, you know, it's 75, and you got a ticket. You don't have any laws that protect you in terms of participating in an NCAA violation.
Okay.
And in an investigation.
Right.
It's almost like the 13th Amendment, like how prisoners in jail don't have any protection under the 13th Amendment, right? And so you have an opportunity to play in the NCAA's organization. You have to follow their rules. And if they ask for you, and you don't even use the word subpoena, but if they ask to see your bank records, bank statements, you know, email, all that, if you want to participate in an organization, you have to cooperate with everything they're investigating.
Okay.
That's why Johnny Manziel's story was so great to me, is because he just was like, nah, this is what it is. Like, I'm telling you guys, this is where the money came from.
Right.
And I'm not giving you anything else. And they still allowed him to participate, even after not cooperating fully with the investigation. We went through with the investigation. And so I think for us, I think that whole element of how it was, you know, they were looking for certain things.
Right.
And then trying to find certain things wrong with Ohio State and what happened. And then also them knowing that we were already going to be suspended. And in their rule book, this is the thing about, like, oh, these were rules. Well, on their side, the people who make the rules, it's a running business plan. Because what was said was you're supposed to be suspended for the next available competition, which was the Sugar Bowl right after the Michigan game when the news dropped.
Sure.
And so for the next available competition, we shouldn't have played in the Sugar Bowl.
Right.
But for the sake of, you know,
money,
bowl game, capitalization on their end, you know, they didn't want starting quarterback, running back, wide receiver, offensive lineman, D lineman to not play. So we were forced to play. And then they said, hey, because you played, instead of giving you four games, we're going to give you five games because we let you play in this game.
Right.
And so it was just manipulated in a way to where it was for their benefit. And the reason why it was manipulated, the reason why we were suspended, the reason why Trestle had to go through everything, we were investigated and asked to turn over there, it was all for the sake, not to just because it's a law or it's a rule. No, it was to protect amateurism, to protect the notion that college players are amateurs and that we would go as far as to hurt your career. We would go as far as to make an example. We would say, hey, these are how important the rules are because we want to protect amateurism. And for me, when I felt like amateurism wasn't protected,
right,
is when I was handed a suspension, but then told you can't go be a professional,
right,
but you have to play in this bowl game. And then, hey, Terrell, even if you go and play and go to the league and you think you're better than this or you're going to get around this, you're going to, Terrell, Roger Goodell upheld a suspension that the NCAA put on a player in college in the NFL, which kind of screwed Terrell when he got to the Raiders.
Sure.
He was already back because he went to supplemental, so he missed OTAs. And then he wasn't allowed in the facility in Oakland. So he had to wait until he was able to come in and learn. And it kind of just messed up his learning curve a little bit. So for the sake of amateurism,
which
you have to serve a professional suspension. Devere, you got to serve a, you know, serve a suspension. And so it's like, yeah, the rules are the rules. But for the sake of the NCAA, they bent him in their favor.
Sure they did.
Yeah.
God, that's ridiculous. All right. I want to keep talking about this. Let's go to a break right now. I want to talk about this some more. Is this therapeutic or does it piss you off talking about it? Are you okay doing it?
Who, me? No, I mean, the thing about it is it's the truth, you know, and it's not that it's therapeutic or I'm upset. It's just this is what happened. Yeah. I was like, you know.
All right. We'll keep this discussion going about quote unquote amateurism. We'll do that next. This is Fan Sports Sunday on The Fan.
Big Voice Guy here to remind you that you're listening to The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Okay, thanks. I have three more seconds.
We firmly believe it's appropriate to tailgate before a youth soccer game.
You're listening to Fan Sports Sunday.
Fan Sports Sunday, Tito DeVere and Caleb with you here through 2 o'clock. We were talking in the last segment about Reggie Bush getting his Heisman back. DeVere Posey was part of that... the situation at Ohio State when Tressel was here and Terrell Pryor involved in that as well. Boom Heron, as far as with the tattoo gate is what they called it. And I was getting some of DeVere's thoughts on this, and he brought to light incredible things about the NCAA and the fact that, I'd forgot about the part about you were able to play in the Sugar Bowl, the big game on TV.
Yeah.
That they want all that, want competitive Ohio State out there, starting quarterback, starting receiver, like you said, starting running back, among others. But then they suspended you after that for the 5 games thing. And I'm curious, is there anything the NCAA could do? Like is there anything they could say? Is there anything they could say that would make you feel better? If they came back and said, the winds are back, you're back in, I don't want to say good graces, because you don't really care about being good graces to the NCAA at this point in your life, I wouldn't think. Or if they apologized, if they said we overreacted, is there anything the NCAA could do that would make you feel better about the situation?
The games happen this season.
We know. Yeah, we saw you out there.
Yeah, like the games were played. I mean, whether there's a, four numbers in a long list of Big Ten championships at the Woody, or if it's like, remembered from history, it doesn't matter because it really happened.
Right.
I also think, just being a man of faith, man of God, like the Lord has shielded my name and protect my name through all of that stuff. And I think for me personally, the only thing that really matters is guys like, Cam Hayward, Dane Sensenbacher, Chimney Check with Brian Browning, Devon Torrance, those groups of seniors who really, went through, just led that team through all of that stuff.
Right.
And the guys the year after who were 12-0, I think for me, personally, I don't think there's anything the NCAA could do to make me feel like, they were wrong. I know they were wrong, and I know that it wasn't the right time, but I think that the seniors who affected their senior years, that's what hurts me the most. And then the 12-0 season is what hurts me the most. Like, I think if that could be reconciled some way, somehow, because it's like, obviously, I'm a strong dude. I can handle a lot, and I've been able to walk through all this stuff. I'm good. But for those guys, the Brian Chasers, Bourne, Sabinos, Orion Johnson, Jake Stoneburners, like my boys, and Cam Hayward, the guys who had left, I feel like they need to be reconciled. Their opinions need to be heard, because you only hear about, me, Terrell, Boom, and Mike, but there were a lot of other people that this affected in Trussell, you know?
Sure, absolutely.
I mean, it affected Urban. And I think, you know, those things were what I want them to fix, you know, if I could ask.
Anything. Right.
Yeah.
And it's hard to fix that because the fact, like you said, history, it's gone. It's not like they can go back and replay games and go to another bowl game or whatever. They can't do those things. When the stuff happened with the Fab Five, they were almost like, you know, alienated from the university. Like, the university didn't want to have a relationship with the Fab Five for quite a while after that.
Disassociation.
Yes, disassociation.
Yeah.
Did that happen with you at Ohio State? Or, like, what's your standing with Ohio State now?
No, never happened.
That's great.
Never really happened. I mean, I think, and a big part about that was, you know, I mean, I stayed, you know, I was, I was, on scout team, you know, that's why I love Luke Fickell. He would call me and be like, hey man, like, have a good scout team practice today. You know, I'm going to throw you in with the twos, you know, it's going to be a lot of scouts there. Things like that, pushing me, hey man, make sure you stay focused, like you're still a pro.
Right.
You know, this stuff will pass. That's why I always got love for Luke Fickell. He was able to really be a great, you know, through everything, you know, thrown into a head coach. Like, he was a lot of support for me, really pushed me to graduate. I mean, like, I have an Ohio State degree.
Right.
You know, I was able to make relationships with people in the student union and a lot that I really still value to today. And a lot of friends, man. And so, I mean, I'm a Buckeye through and through, no matter what. And the thing about Ohio State, like, it's like I cut my wrist and you know, and I dripped my blood into the cauldron of the sacred brotherhood. Like, and there's nothing you can take away from that. Like, Buckeye forever.
I think that when it happened, fans looked at it like, first, like, as a fan reaction, like, how's this affect my team? How's this affect next year? How's this affect Trestle, the beloved head coach for Ohio State? And I don't think people realized how much it affected guys like you and Terrell as far as just your development.
Yeah.
You know, and what you're able to do going forward. Like, it did set you back a little bit, right? It did set Terrell Brack back from, like, the NCAA suspension leading over to the NFL.
Yeah.
It set him back as well.
Yeah. But, I mean, I don't think I'm not necessarily as important as, you know, the seniors the next year in a 12-0 season are the seniors, you know, the Chimney Check was in the Cam Haywards. I really feel like I'm strong enough to handle anything that's thrown at me. You know, like my shoulders are broad enough to walk through that. And I feel that whatever happened in my career, it's made me the dad, the father, the husband that I am today, you know, your coworker, you know, and the person I am in the community. That stuff forged me, right? But there is that gap of guys who were affected by it, who are never mentioned. And I think those are the voices that haven't been heard, and those are the guys that I worry the most about and how it affected them, because nobody wants to hear, you know, about what they have to say, or nobody has even thought about their perspective. And I think that's where that part of the story really, when I was in the league, and, you know, because, bottom line, you know, I went through everything. I still got drafted, still got signed a bonus, still got to play in the league, still got to play in Canada, still had a professional career. But when I would watch Ohio State games, and I watched that season where they played their hearts out and they still weren't allowed to play in a bowl game, I think that's what killed me the most.
Right.
You know, and I know that that's what hurt those guys the most, is that they had to serve part of our suspension.
Right.
And so that aspect is what I would love to fix. That aspect is what I would love for those guys to be heard and recognized.
The NCAA is so good at punishing future people. You know what I mean? Like, they're so good at doing it. They just don't care. At least they did. Now I know it's different now with the way the rules are, but there were years that they would just, there was a time, Devere, in the 80s when Illinois' football team got busted for some recruiting things.
Yeah.
And one of the penalties was that they could not appear on television the next year.
Yeah.
And the basketball team, I think, also could not appear on television. Even they'll do basketball. Like, they penalized the entire Illinois athletic program for the following year because things happened the year before that. Mm-hmm. Just things like that. The NCAA, that's the kind of stuff that always pissed me off, was that they would do things that would not only affect the people that they said were wrong or the ones they wanted to punish, but the future people. And that's what really was unfortunate about that whole situation.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, it was one of those things where it's it's a great lesson for me personally, in a way. It's like, you know, when the universe hands you adversity, yeah. It's really a gift. It's just your perception of it.
Yeah.
And so just being, I took a perception to where I appreciated things and, you know, and it was just one of those things to where you grow from it.
Right.
And going through that stuff allowed me to always be able to be connected to Buckeyes from the future, Buckeyes from the past.
Right.
My current guys and just build relationships there. And, you know, Tito, it's one of those things where I can't do anything about it.
Right.
You know, I would love my 900 yards back and my 9 tutties.
Right.
In my
hey, dude, you got them. They're there. They might not be on the book, bro, but they're there.
Hey, bro, I would like those back on the all-time list. Just restore it. Dane had a great year, too.
Yeah, he did.
You know, like, you know, we had a great duo. So I would like that 13-1 season back.
Yep, I agree. all right, coming up next, we just caught up everything that's happened so far and what will happen this weekend. This is Fan Sports Sunday on The Fan.
There's nothing Bo Bishop can't do well, except find competent co-hosts. Bishop and Friends.
Weekdays from 9 to noon.
The Fan.
Garnish your Bloody Mary with sports talk.
You're listening to Fan Sports Sunday.
Fan Sports Sunday, Tito DeVere. Caleb with you. Heard his voice there on the Sports Center update. God, we went really deep in that last segment.
Nah, it wasn't too deep, man. It was just, hey, this is real.
It's real. Got a call from my son on the break. 7-year-old Artie had his soccer game today. He wanted to score a goal for dad on his birthday.
Okay. Oh, also, happy birthday, Artie.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yes, Artie, happy B-Day.
Yeah, it's happy birthday, yes. So he wanted to get scoring for me. He didn't score a goal. He plays defense most of the game. But the defense only gave one goal. They won 2-1, so I'll give him that.
W's a W.
And he wanted to score on the birthday, but he got the win, which is even better. I'd rather get the win and not score than score and not get the win.
Exactly.
So congratulations to that soccer team. 7-year-old Artie out there doing that. And then, of course, when I told Artie I was going to say something about it on the air, my daughter Charlotte says, make sure you tell everybody it's my birthday on Friday. So it's her birthday Friday. There. We're done.
Same week. That's got to be.
Dude,
happy early birthday on Artie's birthday.
Listen, it was my mom's birthday, my sister's birthday last Saturday, mom last Sunday, me this Sunday, my twin nieces today as well. And then, yeah, we got Charlotte coming up, and then
Mother's Day for your wife.
Mother's Day, yes. It's like this April, this span, there's a 2.5-week span where it's like everyone's got some kind of day in my family.
Jam-packed. Yeah.
Totally jam-packed, yes. NBA playoffs going on today at 1 o'clock. Knicks and Sixers just now getting underway, actually. Clippers and Mavericks, Bucks and Pacers, Timberwolves and Suns. We talked last hour about the Cavaliers, how their backs are, I don't say they're against the wall because tied 2-2, but losing the last two games the way they have is a bad sign for Cleveland. We'll see if they get back on track. Now, granted, it's 2-2. They haven't lost a road game yet. They haven't lost a home game yet, I should say. So they have home court advantage in this series, so you would think that's a good sign, but I've just been very discouraged with the play of Donovan Mitchell the last two games here, and I worry about this Cavs team advancing past Orlando, DeVere.
Yeah, I mean, like, we were going over it, and it's just one of those things to where I think this Cavs team, not to say that they don't need Donovan Mitchell. They actually, it would make their series
right
a lot more winnable if they can figure out how to get him going.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing, you know, with the Lakers and D'Angelo Russell. When D'Angelo Russell plays well, the Lakers are a better team. When Donovan Mitchell plays well, the Cavs are a way better team. And if they're going to advance in the Eastern Conference Finals, or at least get there, they need high play from him. So I don't know what happens in the future, Tito, but we need Mitchell to play better tomorrow night. Yep.
These last two games, actually, not even last two games, this whole series against Denver, Anthony Davis has been an absolute beast.
It's been so great to watch.
25 and 23 is crazy last night.
And 6 assists.
Yeah.
Also in that game.
Yeah.
Game for that was 33 and 15, 32 and 11 before that, 32 and 14 with 5 assists and 4 blocks before that.
Jeez.
So great to watch. And it just really, the competitiveness.
Yeah.
The 20 point, I'm so sad about that 20 point lead they gave up the other day.
Right.
Because if that series was 2-2, I would actually still be like pretty invested. I mean, I don't know. Yeah. Being down 3-1, Denver's just got you in a chokehold. It's just not much you can do. Yeah. But
early in that first game that they gave up in Denver, if they could have split.
Yep.
That's what I'm saying. Like, the games have been good. It's not like the Lakers have like played poorly, really, to be honest. Yeah. I mean, you know, D'Lo's been spotty here and there, but You know, I mean, that's the experience with him, I feel like, anyway. So,
but the play of Anthony Davis has been something that I think I just, what I can take away from this series is that's Anthony Davis.
Yeah.
That's who we've all been excited to see. We haven't seen this guy in 2-3 years, you know, like haven't seen him play to this level, Caleb, and he's been able to really give them a chance when he can play at this level. So it's unfortunately LeBron's just the oldest he's ever been, and now he's playing this way.
NBA draft is coming up here shortly, obviously. But the NBA draft happens, and then 2 days later is the deadline for LeBron to decide whether to opt in next year or become a free agent. Mm. And there's all this talk about, well, will somebody draft his son, and then will he opt out and go join his son? Mm. And I wonder about that. Because, you know, it's obviously his goal is to go play, or his son could play in their college basketball, and LeBron could sign the same kind of a deal. He could opt out and sign the same kind of a deal where it's like 1 year player option for the opt out on the second year. He can't sign more than, I believe, a 2 year deal because of his age. They've got these rules in the NBA now where you can't sign like a long term deal if you're a certain age. Do you expect, regardless, LeBron's still in LA next year, or do you think there's a chance it would change if somebody else drafts Bronny?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that, you know, that's the reason why he's still playing. One mm-hmm. of the reasons why he's still playing, obviously, he's chasing a scoring title.
Sure.
And a few other things, but it would be pretty cool to play with your son.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, nepotism is real. Unfortunately, here in Ohio, we just found out this week that you can't hire Deepler because of nepotism.
Right.
But, you know, if Bron is able to get, California is different when it comes to state laws. I have this feeling that, like, you know, where when the old guys show up to the park, Caleb, and, you know, they're like, man, they put this all-star team together. And I get, like, just, this is what LeBron wants to do. And end up in Golden State. That's just what, that's how I see it playing.
Wow.
It's crazy, right?
That would be, yeah, that would be insane.
that's just a DeVere Posey rumor.
And
I just made that up.
Steph just saying, all right, and we're old, like, let's do it. Let's get it done together. Like,
and Bronny.
I mean, that's the stuff you make movies about.
How about this?
That would be crazy, though.
And Draymond stays.
There's a coach out there that LeBron loves, okay, in the NBA.
Yeah. Spoelstra?
No. Well, he loves Spoelstra. But I'll give you another name, though. Popovich.
Wow.
Now, what if the
Spurs...
Throw
Wemby in there.
What if the Spurs drafted Bronny, LeBron opts out, and goes play with Wembanyama and the Spurs? Wouldn't that be kind of cool?
That'd be really cool. Yeah, 100% would be invested in that. Yeah. Be the perfect way to, like, pass the torch, too. It's like, Bronny could just show him the ropes. Show them how things are done.
Well, look, we know LeBron's one of the hardest damn workers out there, the way he keeps his body in shape and all that.
Yeah.
What a great example that could be.
Yeah.
Not that Wembanyama's any problem there. I'm saying, but what a great example that'd be, though, he could set for him.
Right. You're seeing it, like, on a day-to-day basis.
Right.
Constantly. I mean, the amount of knowledge that he would just probably pick up.
Yeah.
You know, just being around Bron and going, you know, seeing the routine and all that with
right.
everything that goes into it. Yeah. That would be great.
Huh,
I would love to see that.
Ooh.
You know, I would love to see him with Wembanyama, and then you sign out there. You got Malachi out there already as well.
Yes,
that could be a lot of fun.
That would be fun. I like that.
I wonder if a team's going to go out there and draft Bronny based on, like, we're going to try to draft him, or what kind of goes on by the team?
We're drafting his dad,
right? Yeah, that's what they're doing. But I wonder, like, what kind of talks go behind the scenes with the agent and with, you know, management and all that, and if they're throwing the little thing out there, like, hey, look, if you draft Bronny, LeBron's not coming here, so don't do it.
Well, Rich Paul is probably Bronny's agent, and it's LeBron's agent. So, yeah, it's definitely going down.
Yeah, I wonder, like, if he's talking, like, telling teams, like, hey, I know you might think drafting Bronny gets LeBron here. It won't, so don't draft Bronny. And but he's telling, like, 3 or 4 teams, maybe Golden State's one of them, maybe San Antonio, something like that. Like, hey.
Cleveland?
God, I don't think you'll come back to Cleveland.
Yeah.
I think that's dank. I think that he left at the right time. He got them the title. He buried all the stuff with the decision. I think all that's done. All that could happen is it'd be bad if he comes here. I don't think that if it comes to Cleveland. I don't think Cleveland can compete with Boston regardless.
Yeah.
No.
Even with LeBron.
Yeah, no.
Singer and Junior.
Yeah, look, Junior's not. I don't think Bronny is I think that if his last name's not James, there's no way we're having a conversation about this player going into the NBA draft. You know what
Absolutely.
I mean?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And look, the health problems, he's overcome that. It's a miraculous story. It's an incredible story. But if his last name's not James, if his last name is Jackson, he's probably going to be playing in the, you know, back in the Big Ten again, I guess, with USC now in the Big Ten or some other school for another year or two at least before he would get drafted into the NBA. At least that's the way it should be. He didn't put up great numbers. Great story that he overcame what he overcame and that he's back out on the floor playing, but still not NBA ready. In the NHL, Jets play the Avalanche today. Colorado leads that series 2-1. Canucks and Predators. Canucks lead that one 2-1. The Rangers take on the Capitals in game four there. Rangers holding a 3-0 series lead in that one. That game's in Washington tonight at 8 o'clock. And then also tonight, Oilers and Kings. Edmonton lead that series 2-1. The Reds got a win yesterday over Texas, 8-4. They'll play today again at 2:35 p.m. Guardians beat the Braves 4-2. They're in Atlanta today at 1:35. What a story the Guardians have been with, you know, nobody. Look, they don't have I didn't think they had a great team coming in, but they have way outperformed expectations so far. And it's a cool story. The Guardians under, you know, a new manager this year and have had some injuries also, but the fact they're still where they're at is it's an amazing thing for Cleveland fans.
Absolutely. You know, I'll let Caleb talk on this because, you know, I'm a diehard Reds fan, so I'm not going to give the Guardians any love.
That's crazy. I kind of forgot that. I honestly don't think I knew that you were a Cincy guy.
What?
For baseball?
That Ken Griffey Jr. is one of my favorite all-time athletes.
Fair enough. I mean,
I went to a Reds game last year. I mean, come on, Caleb.
I got to give some props to the kid. I mean, he's a legend. But at the same time, it's always go Guards. I mean, come on.
Before it was Dennis Godin.
I thought this season was dead after. Yeah. I mean, I get it. Like, it was super early, but when Biebs, they announced that he's done for the season, right. I'm like, all right, this is, what are we doing here? And yeah, I mean, the way they've responded, it's been a good time to be a Guards fan. It's kept me invested in the season that I didn't think I would watch too much of. Like, I'm kind of a very casual baseball watcher. Like, I prefer to go to the games, honestly. So, but yeah, I don't know. It's been nice. It's been nice to be first in the league for a little bit.
Will either of you watch a game on television, start to finish, a baseball game?
Regular season?
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
If the Guards are on ESPN, like, because that's very rare. I feel like ESPN, you barely see baseball on, like, anyway. But, like, if they're on and I'd see it, like, I'd watch a little bit, but.
Yeah. Not to start to finish. You wouldn't sit down and say, okay, I'm here for this game.
Oh, no. No.
I wouldn't either. I can't watch, even with the new rules. And I love the fact the games are quicker, but I can't.
Even like I might go into it with the mentality that okay, like I'm gonna sit here,
right?
Let's. Well, I'm dialed in, and then we'll probably get to about like midway through the fourth, and I'm if we even get that far, and I'm probably like, all right, let's find something else to do.
Have you gone to a game in person with the pitch clock?
I have not. Not at the major league level. No, I've gone to the minor league level, but not at the major league level.
Yeah, I
highly
either.
Recommend it. It's a different game than what we've seen growing up. So I went Pirates Reds last year.
Right.
It was the game. It was the night that Ohio State played Notre Dame.
Okay.
And it was crazy. I think it was 9 runs scored in one inning. Like it finished like 13-12. The Pirates came back, beat the Reds. But I'm like, the pace of play, the amount of hits, De La Cruz, he's jumping up. You know, he caught a line drive. Like it's crazy. I'm like, baseball is a lot more fun. And my boys, they enjoyed it. Now I think this style of play can attract more younger fans just because it's faster. I think, you know, when I was younger, I was like, man, I'm falling asleep. But
sure,
I highly recommend to go check a game out with this pitch clock. It's dope.
All right.
Coming up next, there's no offseason for this next guest. Head coach of the Ohio State women's basketball team, Kevin McGuff, joins us next. This is Fan Sports Sunday on The Fan.
We're known for three things: games, conversation, and common man yelling about things only he cares about.
The Fan, Ohio sports destined.
Live, local, and still slightly drunk.
I'm not drunk, all right? I just have a speech impediment.
This is Fan Sports Sunday.
All right, Fan Sports Sunday, Tina DeVere and Caleb with you. We are efforting on reaching Kevin McGuff. We'll see if that comes together here in this segment. But it's been a great couple weeks for Ohio State women's basketball. I know that we're hoping for a little more of a couple more games to be able to be played in the NCAA tournament, but nonetheless, the WNBA draft happened. JC Sheldon goes 5th overall to Dallas. Celeste Taylor goes in the second round of the Indiana Fever, joining Caitlin Clark there also. And then they also have, you know, they already have Kelsey Mitchell there. Yep. Should be a lot of fun watching the Fever this year. And they've got a, the ESPN's loading up national games this year. You'll see them on TV quite a bit. It'll be interesting to see how the women's game continues after this. I don't want to say they've peaked, but after this crest, though, they've had, you know, with getting the fact that they've had such popularity this year, NCAA tournament, setting all kinds of viewership records for like Iowa, UConn, and then going all the way through to Iowa, South Carolina, and that. It'll be interesting to see how the women's game continues next year.
I think what happened in college women's basketball this year, as far as having Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, you know, Dawn Staley down in South Carolina, and just the amount of stars in the game, Tito,
yeah,
is the equivalent of Larry Bird and Magic Johnson playing each other,
yeah,
in the national championship. That's how big it's been for that sport.
All right, now we are joined on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline, Ohio State head coach Kevin McGuff. Kevin, we were just talking about the WNBA draft and what went down there. I know you were out there and spent time with JC and Celeste and all that. And I'm curious, what does that do for your program when you have players like that front and center getting drafted highly in the WNBA draft? You know, what does that mean to your program?
Well, it's a great day for us. Obviously, anytime we can have somebody drafted in the WNBA, and you know, we're recruiting kids that want to play in that league, and so for us to be able to demonstrate that, you know, they can come here, they can develop in our system, and move on to the next level is really, really important for us.
Kevin, one of the major goals for me every time I have you on the show is I want to make sure I don't ask you anything that can get you fined or in trouble or sanctioned. So, are you okay? Are you allowed to talk about a couple of people that have announced they're transferring to Ohio State?
Yes.
Okay, so we can talk about Asia Petty out of Kentucky, the 6'3 forward who had a monster year last year and has improved every year while she's been in Kentucky. And I know that that's a huge thing for you to have a consistent post presence, especially with the players you've lost off of this past year's team. How difficult a process was that? How quickly were you able to secure her services?
Well, two things. We were very fortunate in that we didn't really need to add a lot of players. And if you look around the country, it's really wild out there. I mean, there's good programs adding 5 and 6 and 7 people here late. And we really wanted 2 people, and we wanted to address a couple of needs. One, if you looked, well, really, and they'll put them together. It's like if you looked at any games we lost this past season, it had to do with one of 2 things, rebounding or lack of outside shooting. And so we really wanted to address those areas. And so we got Asia Petty out of Kentucky, who is an incredible just rebounder. She's got a high motor. She's going to run the floor. She's going to defend. She's going to rebound. And I think she's going to be good in our offensive system as well. So I think we really helped our rebounding, especially. And then we got Chance Gray out of Oregon, who can really shoot the ball and kind of spread the floor and stretch the defenses. And so, you know, we were really fortunate. We had 2 great kids and addressed some needs that I thought were very important as we move forward.
Yeah, Coach McGuff, DeVere Posey here. I really like that Chance Gray transfer portal recruiting job that you guys did there. Did you play on Come On Home Cincinnati? You have great Cincinnati ties. How does that stuff work in the portal, you know, going to get somebody and bringing them back home?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, that was certainly a part of it. She's very close with her family. You know, her father was a former NFL player. He played at UCLA then for South Carolina League for, I think, 8 years. So they're big football people. But, she wanted to get back closer to home and just thought she'd be a great fit in our program. And we recruited her out of high school, so I have a good relationship with her and her mother and her father.
That's awesome. So, Coach McGuff, right before you got on, we were speaking about just – this year in college basketball for women's, the women's sport. And I just think, and I just told Tito, I said, with Caitlin Clark, you know, JC Sheldon, Angel Reese, all of these stars across the landscape of college basketball, it was just as impactful as Magic Johnson and Larry Bird playing each other in the national championship and just what it did for the sport. And I just think we're entering a new era to where, you can name more college women's players than you can name college men's players. And I just want to know from your perspective, how do you feel about being a part of this time frame and where it's, you know, trending?
Yeah, no, it's an incredible time to be a part of the sport. I feel very fortunate to be not only at Ohio State, to just be in women's basketball in general. And it was it's been a great run the last couple of years. And, you know, there's a lot of star power that just went to the WNBA. So now I think it's going to be fun to see the next kind of iteration of stars. And I think you'll see Juju Watkins out at USC, who's going to be in the Big Ten, be a big star, and she'll get a lot of coverage. I think you'll see, you know, Cody McMahon, Jelani Cambridge, who's going to be a freshman for us, is going to be one of those next stars. And so it's going to be really cool to see these next stars emerge and really help continue to really push the sport forward.
Does anything change about your style of play based on who you have coming in next year? Or is it you recruited and brought in transfers based on we're going to keep doing our 40 minutes of hell? And is anything change in that, or is that all still going to keep carrying over?
Yeah, no, I think, you know, we've recruited in a way that we can continue to play a similar style. definitely defensively will be the same. And, you know, I think the kids we're bringing in are going to fit in really, really well with that. Now, offensively, it's a little bit different. You know, we have a 6'5 Finnish post player coming in who I think will be a little bit like Rebecca. Now, Asia Petty's a little bit different. So we may do some tweaks on the offensive end, but for the most part, you're going to see a very similar style.
Gino Auriemma, the head coach for Connecticut, said that he thinks if one and done's transfer over to the women's game, it could kill women's college basketball, the popularity of it. Do you share that sentiment, or where do you stand on that?
Well, it's kind of a mixed bag for me. I think he's right to some degree. I think we've gotten a lot out of having people like Caitlin Clark for 4 years and J.C. Sheldon for 4 years. I think it's really helped grow the game and grow the popularity. Now, do I believe they should have the right to do it? I do. The economics aren't the same, unfortunately, right now. So it's not like you're going to WNBA and you're going to be set. I mean, you'll be set, necessarily set for life.
Right.
So I think some kids could make some bad decisions. But deep down, I do believe they have the right to be able to do it, just like the men.
Kevin McGuff joining us here on the Bryant Heating and Cooling System Fan Guest Hotline. With the addition of USC coming in, UCLA coming in, I mean, you're adding some damn good teams from the former Pac-12 into the Big Ten. Does that change how you will schedule non-conference games?
You know, we are adding a couple great programs, and all four of them have the potential to be great. So it's going to be really challenging. But, you know, we'll continue to play fairly aggressively in the non-conference schedule. I think, you know, regardless of who you're going to play in the conference schedule, you need to learn who you are as a team, and you need to learn early on where you need to get better. And I think the only way you do that is to play competitive games.
So I saw we'll get you out here on this one. I saw someone with a very similar last name to yours in the transfer portal. Now, again, I'm not getting you in trouble. So you can just say no comment, but is there any, announcement forthcoming on where that certain player may be headed to school next?
Yeah, I guess I can let the kid out of the bag. She's going to go to Butler. And so, I think it's going to be a great fit for her, and she's excited about it. And, my old buddy Thad Mata and his wife Barb can help watch over there.
Was there any chance she was going to come to Ohio State?
You know, maybe she can play here. I mean, she's a good player.
Sure.
But, she's kind of forged her own path, and she's done a great job. So, and I think she'll have a really good, you know, end of her career here at Butler.
Fantastic. Kevin, look, I know there's no off season for you, and I appreciate you taking time to talk to us on this, and we'll catch up again really soon.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. That was Ohio State women's basketball head coach Kevin McGuff. Look,
you had to ask.
That's the truth, though. I'm scared to death of asking some questions because I didn't ask him ahead of time. Can I ask you about these things? So I don't want him to say anything that gets, because think of how, by the way, how much hell would I catch if my question got Ohio State like on a postseason ban or something?
So your interview's being played in the NCAA.
I don't say, like, if I had to send somebody, oh, yeah, I really wanted that player. I'm really looking after this player. Like, I got to make sure I am super careful. I put it all on McGuff. That's why I say, look, you tell me.
Yeah.
Yeah. You handled it right. You handled it well.
Yeah. You don't want a tampering interview. Did you? I don't know if you saw Nick Saban saying that Quinnen Mitchell was their number one guy in the portal, and that he would come, like, whoa, did this dude just say I was tampering? Like, this guy is crazy.
It's funny because there was like a message board on Facebook, and somebody asked about, do we know anything about McGuff's daughter, where she's going? I think she was at Belmont before. But anyway, and I'll ask the question, and how about us getting breaking news there that Kevin McGuff announces right here on The Fan that his daughter's transferring to Butler? That's huge.
Love to see it. We love to see it.
Yes. So thank you again to Kevin McGuffa joining us there on the Bryant Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Always love talking to that guy, and he's always so great with his time for us. Coming next, we know it's an important year around here for Ryan Day, but another coach in college football is also approaching a critical 2024 season. We'll do that next Fan Sports Sunday on The Fan.
When that alarm clock goes off, morning juice comes on. The perfect way to dominate your day or just lay around the house. Morning juice.
Weekdays at 6. The Fan.
During weekend programming,
pants are optional.
Look at my butt!
However, leather chairs may have been a bad choice.
You're listening to Fan Sports Sunday.
Fan Sports Sunday, Tito DeVere. Here with you today, Caleb Manning things back there for us. Thank you to Coach Kevin McGuff for the Ohio State women's basketball team joining us in the last segment on the Bryant Heating and Cooling System Fan Guest Hotline. DeVere, there's a lot of pressure on Ryan Day and the Ohio State Buckeyes this year. We know that. Pressure to beat the rival, get to the playoff, and make a run in the playoffs. There's another coach further west. Spring game was yesterday for his squad and is also facing a lot of pressure, I believe, this year.
Yeah.
Now, I'm a big fan of Deion. I love Deion. I hope that it works out in Colorado with Deion Sanders. But he's certainly taking a different approach to the way college football normally happens with turning players over. He came in and turned a bunch of players over, brought a lot of transfers in. And then, again, this year, a lot of people are leaving, a lot of people coming in. He doesn't do a lot of traditional recruiting of high school players, it sounds like. And look, no matter what they do this year, he's coming back for year three. I'm just saying that the way they started out last year, they had the big win over TCU early on, looked very competitive early on before having a long losing streak to end the season. But what are your expectations? Like, do you think this model can work for Deion Sanders?
This year is the test, right? You know, he was able to get a little bit of success in the beginning of the year. Obviously, he swept ESPN, swept College Football, Fox, yes. All of that stuff yes. last year early. But this year, you know, you're going to see if it's his theory or his methodology, you know, as it's put to the test, because it's time to start cashing out. I mean, your son's upperclassman. Travis, you know, Hunter is upperclassman.
Right.
And it's time to get those wins. But, you know, not to shift the pressure. But I wanted to ask you, obviously Ryan Day, you know, I don't think the seat is warm, but there are a lot of eyes on him. Mm-hmm. Deion, there are a lot of eyes on him. But I would honestly say I think the seat is hot for Lincoln Riley at USC.
Yeah, it's and he's walking into a beehive with this Big Ten now. I mean, it's a much tougher conference. I know the Pac-12 had success last year. A lot of guys
exactly
drafted.
The reason why.
Yeah, but it's going to be a lot more difficult.
See, Chip got out of there. Chip
was smart. Chip was smart. I told you, I said this on the air after it happened that, you know, some coaches like, you know, Sarkisian or other guys or O'Brien, they end up going to other jobs as like coordinators and whatnot to kind of rehab their reputation to get jobs elsewhere. Yeah. What Chip Kelly did was prehab. Before he could get fired, he's doing a prehab and coming to Ohio State, and it's a much better opportunity for him to have success.
Well, and I think Chip is a guru of the game, helped change the landscape of college football. I think he just loves coaching ball and drawing up plays and being creative. And I think when you think about the reason why he left was he was like, I'm going to let Ryan Day handle all that crap.
Yeah, right.
Like, I get to do what I love. I don't have to deal with NIL. I left, like, I'm willing to take less and less responsibility. Yeah. Like he's at that place in his career where he's a head coach for 14 years.
Yep.
Ego's off the table. He just wants to do what he does best.
Yeah.
And so now you got a guy like Lincoln. He's coming here. He has to draw up those plays, handle NIL, and now compete with NIL in the Big Ten and compete against all these Big Ten teams. Yeah. It could get very hot fast.
That's a question I would love to ask Ryan Day, and I'd want him hooked up. Not that he's dishonest, so don't take it that way. I'd love to have him hooked up to a lie detector test so when I ask him this, and tell him 10 years ago, if I would have told you this is what a college football coach does at Ohio State, would you still want to be a head football coach at Ohio State? Because it's not what it was. It's a lot different now. There are a lot more responsibilities with NIL and the roster turnover and whatnot. Ryan Day, okay, I know he's the head coach. He's the CEO is what he is.
Yeah.
More so than ever before.
And he's had to handle it all
yep.
in a running business plan, all while it's happening real time.
Yeah.
He's had to navigate it. No model to follow after, no schedule.
Right.
No recommendations. It's sort of like, well, what do you think? Well, I'm just going off of, there's no model to follow.
You can't even have a mentor. Because like no one, you can't have a mentor in this because there's no one you can talk to. Like, you know, when you were a college football coach before, you could find an old college football coach and talk about how things went or what mm-hmm. things look. Because the way the target's always changing, the way the rules are always changing with now, it's like you're, I don't want to say you're on an island, but you have to surround yourself though with people that you trust.
You have to have several mentors, Tito. You got to have an old college coach. You might need a CEO friend. You might need a GM friend.
Yeah,
You might need somebody who's been at that higher level.
Yeah.
You need an old friend who can call plays for you, like Chip.
Right.
You know, you got to get a guy like Philbin.
You're right. Yeah.
Got to talk to Tressel a little bit about special teams. I think he's handling it a great way.
Me too. Oh, yes.
He's gathering information from everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
I don't think anybody can handle it better than he's handled it. And he's represents university well. You know, we don't hear about any issues. He truly feels like, I think he comes across very much as a father figure, coach figure mm-hmm. with the players and the way he talks about things. But there's no, I can't imagine the amount of responsibility this guy has.
Yeah,
you know, there's so many different balls you're juggling at the same time. On top of that, it's like fans are like, you got to win. You got to beat Michigan this year.
Yep.
And I don't think there's any way his seat should be warm. I don't believe that at all.
No, it's not
I think
warm at all.
There's pressure on him, though, this year.
But that pressure, Tito, it's internal. So my son, they played an AAU game. It was against one of his former teams.
Right.
And we took a tough loss. And I'm sitting there, I go to sleep the next night, you know, and a couple of days later, I'm like, dang. Like, I'm on my way into, you know, one of my businesses drawing up plays while I'm driving. And I'm like, and I come home and I was like, hey, babe, like, I don't know if I got the coaching bug, but competitively, I'm rocked by this because I just feel like there's things I would want to do different. Sure. There's ways I would like to prepare. I was like, can you imagine if I'm doing this over third grade basketball.
Right.
How Ryan Day feels.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where I'm saying the internal pressure for a guy who's competitive, who's coached at the highest levels, like there's nothing Ohio State fan can say more than what he, JT Tuimoloau, Sawyer, Emeka Buka are putting on themselves because they have to go out and make the plays and make the decisions to get those done. So that pressure internally and looking in the mirror is hotter than any seat they sit on.
Yep, I agree with that. Yeah, there's a certain, I don't say insulation, but it's certainly more within that building.
Absolutely.
And within that man's heart.
Each other.
You know, like as far
everybody's
as
everybody's pushing each other over there.
No one wants to beat Michigan this year more than he does. You know what I mean?
There's no other area of people.
Yeah.
Rather than over there on Olin Tangy Road.
Right. Yeah. And we'll find out again Tuesdays when the transfer portal closes. So we'll see if anybody else does happen to depart the program. They add anybody else in. We'll find out about that. We'll obviously keep an eye on Colorado and Deion because we always watch Deion no matter what he does. He is the best. He's always been the best at working with the media and promoting himself. If you don't believe me, go back and watch the draft when he got drafted out of Florida State. Go back and watch any press conference with Deion during his playing days. Nobody did it better than Deion.
I was watching his podcast. He was talking about how much he looked up to Bo Jackson.
Right.
And how he was only, you know, 1 or 2 years older than him. He had to actually play him at Auburn. And he was like, you know, without Bo Jackson, there's no me, you know, dual sports. But he was like, I had to do it a little different than Bo. Bo didn't talk.
God. The fact that Deion did a World Series game and NFL game in the same day is phenomenal.
Yeah.
And this is my house. I built this house when he said that also.
Yeah.
I love Deion. Deion.
You know what he said? He said, Deion, you played against. He said, no. They played against me.
Right. Yes.
I love that.
Did you guys see his one quote about Tyreek Hill? Like, Tyreek said he would have, he went on some podcast and had like 175 yards on him.
Yeah.
He said, we're comparing a monument to a moment. Like, that's.
Oh, that's great. I love that.
The amount of disrespect I feel like you got to feel if you're Tyreek Hill, too. It's like, to be honest, I think Deion's locking him up, but still.
A monument to a moment.
Like, that's a crazy diss. Like,
Deion locked everybody up. Deion was just, it's funny.
He locked Jerry up.
Roll the tape.
Roll the tape.
I tried to explain to my son about Dion, and I found myself struggling with words. Because it's something you have to see. You know, you have to, like, watch. Yeah. I'm like, so let's put the highlights on. I'm going to show you this. But, like, it's hard to describe exactly what Dion, the phenomenon of Dion as a player was.
And the persona.
Yes.
Like, and just at the time.
Right.
Never having, like, in our sport, seen a persona like that. I mean, it was groundbreaking.
The only loss he took was teaming up with Hammer on music. But anyways, coming next, we'll close up shop. There's some good news for Ohio State men's basketball team. We'll talk about that next. Fan Sports Sunday on the Fan.
If you miss a live show, you can catch the podcast. If you miss the podcast, our hosts have volunteered to have dinner with you.
Bah, the meatloaf!
The Fan.
Sports talk, weekend style. You're listening to Fan Sports Sunday.
Final segment of the program. Tito DeVere and Caleb with you. Thank you so much for spending time with us today on your Sunday. I said some good news for Ohio State. I didn't want to tease like it's not like a recruit type news. I'm just saying the Ohio State men's basketball team getting some preseason love. ESPN did their way too early top 25 rankings for men's college basketball. Has Ohio State at 24. Kind of cool. Buckeyes obviously had the transition last year from Chris Holtman, finished strong, and then missed the NCAA tournament, but still had a good, strong finish to the season under Jake Diebler. And then I looked at CBS Sportsline, and their top 25 and one is what they call it, where they rank the top 26 teams. They have Ohio State 15th. Very encouraging there. Might be a little high, but you know they've got some roster turnover this year. But I like what Jake Diebler's done so far. We'll see. You know, I didn't like losing Zed Key. Went to Dayton. Good for him. I hope he has a great year there. He's probably going to have a monster year, I would think, in the MAC. But getting Michi Johnson here is a big deal for Ohio State. Getting Bradshaw out of Kentucky, the big guy, that's also a big deal. Micah Parrish, who comes over from San Diego State. So those are all good things for Ohio State. And I am more optimistic about Ohio State men's basketball now than I've been in a long time.
Absolutely. I mean, just from the perspective of what Diebler can do in the recruiting world and getting, I want to say Darren Peterson, but I know that's not the kid's name. I want him to get Darren Peterson, but the big recruit he just got out of Garfield Heights.
Oh, yeah.
Marcus Johnson. Yep. Yeah. So, being able to recruit, he loves to go to the state tournament.
Mm-hmm.
At every level that Diebler has been at, he's always shined as a recruiter.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about the Cavs. He recruited Darius Garland to Vanderbilt. So that's the biggest and best optimism for me with this program.
Yeah.
I don't know about this year immediately, but give Diebler some time. Let his relationships start to manifest. Allow people to really see and love and come back here. And support Jake Diebler, it will pay off.
It's so funny that we talked about the nepotism thing with John Diebler, why he can't bring him back here.
Yeah.
And I saw that one story last week where, like, there's a way around it, and which is that? Very weird.
And what's that?
Yeah, what do you mean?
If John Diebler gets adopted by another family, that's the truth. He could literally, that's honest to God, another family could adopt him legally.
Yeah.
And if they do that, the nepotism rule goes away, and he could get around it that way. But he'd have to secede from his family.
I was going to say, what happens to his kid's last name?
I think you can still say Diebler. You can make your last name. Like, I could make my, if I wanted to call myself, you know, if I wanted to call myself Jeff Posey, I'd get it legally changed to that.
Yeah.
True.
You know, so he could.
It's free country.
Yeah, right. Why not? So
my bad,
Jeff. If I wanted to do that, yeah, a little JP, I could do that. But Diebler though, G-Po, Diebler could absolutely do that if he wanted to. It's a drastic step. It's a stupid rule.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things where he's not getting hired for. He's getting hired because he's a damn good recruiter and a pretty good former basketball player, too.
Yeah, I haven't talked to you about this. I talked to him, but isn't God so funny and the universe so funny and just how things work? Like, as a parent,
yeah.
Papa Diebler, Mama Diebler.
Right.
You got to support Jake as he's at Valpo. Like,
right.
Man, like, hey, like, I know you helped make your brother the all-time leading high school scorer in Ohio by, you know, throwing on the ball, but man, you go have a great career at Valpo.
Right.
We're going to go check him out in Columbus.
Right. Yeah.
he's playing with, you know, all of these great players. And then, no. We're going to stay in Columbus.
We're stay here now, yeah.
And support USA head coach. Right. John. Hey, good luck out at Butler. You know, we'll try and catch you on FSN or something.
Yeah, it's funny. You're right. That's very funny the way it works out. It's,
oh, man. It just flips.
Yep. It'll be interesting to see how if he somehow finds a way to add him to a staff or, you know, maybe some rich guy will adopt him like in Different Strokes or something, and he'll be able to do it then. But I'm excited about Ohio State basketball, both the men's and women's programs, on such an impressive uptick now. Nothing gets Holtmann. I hope Holtmann does well at DePaul. He's walking into quite a difficult situation there because that team has had a rough couple of years, but we'll see if Holtmann can turn that team around out there. I root for Holtmann the same way I continue to root for Thad also. You know, I just like seeing the former Buckeye coaches still have success elsewhere. But it's such a different energy now. And Diebler, look, I personally have not seen Diebler out anywhere in public, but everything I've seen on social media, it feels like he's always out there somewhere getting a picture taken with somebody. Like there's somebody, he'll just around town or at the state tournament, like you said, mm-hmm. It seems like he's always out somewhere there.
Yeah, no, he has an infectious personality. You see it on the sideline.
Yep.
You see him getting excited. I think that's a big reason why the guys play better. You can be comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he encourages, you know, different things when it comes to being yourself. He's
right.
A lot younger. He can identify with the players. And that personality shines through a lot, Tito.
The 76ers right now taking on the Knicks. That score is 29-27 in the second quarter there. Brunson off to a good start for the Knicks. There's like about 7 minutes left in the second quarter or so. Brunson's already got 14 points. 14 to the Knicks, 27 points. Joel Embiid coming off his 50-point game has 10 so far there. Before we wrap things up here on this Fan Sports Sunday, why don't we ask Jim Mora what kind of performance we had today?
And that was a disgraceful performance, in my opinion.
Can always count on Jim Mora for his support. Thank you, DeVere. Sir, thank you, Caleb. Coming up next, game day right here, 97.1 The Fan.
An encyclopedic knowledge of sports and other random things you may or may not care about.
I think I found my mentor.
Rodman and Ice.
Weekdays from noon to 3.
The Fan.